For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world.
This is the main event.
Dildo Corn is alive
and kicking.
Come on over here, I'll headbutt your ass a couple times if you know what I'm saying.
This brother breaking off a 40-yard run. This brother,
come on, zip it.
I hope I didn't piss off Jesus.
You call that a penalty? Who's number one?
It's the LA Clippers.
Boom! Shut up! You're saying it wrong, people.
I would get her pregnant.
That
just called in and hangs up, you motherfucker. That fucking pissed me off.
Ari, are you in the shower now?
Totally in the shower.
Yeah, dude.
He's not a cokehead.
You mean James?
Stupid idiot.
You're a stupid idiot for getting so fucking uptight over fucking nothing.
You're clearly lying.
You're clearly just
lying. Why would I lie?
For attention.
Why would I lie?
What?
I don't need attention.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. You're a comic. Yes, and welcome to Punch Drunk Sports. It is a jazzed up Tuesday. Lots to talk about. Everybody in the room is just ready to rock. Are you guys ready? I feel like this show is going to be loaded for bear.
I don't know what that means.
Okay.
I feel good. You just sent me a novel that I have to read, so I'm sorry I'm out of it a little bit.
Guys, so much great stuff going in sports. This is going to be a great podcast. We have a very funny comic slash high-quality black athlete coming on the show. So, you know, we're going to make this happen. Maybe we can work it out where we get Jared the Bang, the nanny, while we watch.
And it's back. It's been so long. Raffling off your clam.
Yes.
You never ask permission. You just offer to throw me on the table.
Hey, you're working for Sam. You just got to do it, girl.
Are you a team player? Guys, so much going on, but let's pay the bills. Guys, you want to read? We'll do BetDSI. BetDSI for all your bet needs. That's right. Go to BetDSI. Use the promo code PUNCHDRUNK. Get that $10 betting cash. Takes a couple hours, but you will get credit and put it towards those parlays. Jason's putting out tons of parlays.
God, I missed so close this
people one. People are winning.
People are winning 2 weeks in a row. A bunch of people won, and then everyone got on the wagon this week with me, and the only thing I missed was that Steelers game.
Dude, if it was guaranteed, it wouldn't be called gambling. It would be Tebow's guarantees, and we'd all be making money.
If it was guarantees, Vegas wouldn't look like it looks.
Yeah, of course. It'd be
man, I can't believe I'm losing. I'm like, look at this place. There's a building made out of diamonds next door. How do you think you're going to sit here and win?
So go to BetDSI for all your betting needs, man. Make that money. Shit is heating up. Super Bowl's coming, so get it. And guess what? Maybe you want to go to Super Bowl. What could you use to get tickets there, Tebow?
You could use SeatGeek. Go to SeatGeek app and download the app. Keep it in your pocket at all times. Use the code PUNCHDRUNK, and that gets you $20 off. Guys, buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long, long time. Not anymore. It's always been hard to find the best deals for the games or shows that you want to go to. And none of those older ticket sites want your business. I'll say that.
They don't.
SeatGeek does. So you get, $20 rebate off the first SeatGeek purchase.
Nobody else gives you that.
To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app. Go to the settings, tap, and click add a promo code in there. Enter the code PUNCHDRUNK. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. That's $20 off any sporting event, any concert, or any live event that you would want to go to. And SeatGeek is great because they rate the tickets for you as well, so you can find tickets in your budget. If you sit there and think, hey, I can't afford this $10,000 price, I'm seeing a ticket to go to the Super Bowl, hey, put in $50 in the SeatGeek app and let's see if you get lucky.
Dreams come true. Now, listen, everything that we promote on the show, I use. I use SeatGeek app to get the Run the Jewels for next Wednesday night. Boom! Downtown got great deal, 2 tickets. If Dana doesn't want to go, I might raffle them off to somebody who wants to go with me. But that's it. So hit up SeatGeek. Caveman Coffee, Caveman Coffee. Go to Caveman Coffee. Use the promo code PUNCHDRUNK. Get 10% off all your purchases on coffee.
I think it's 15.
Oh, up to 15. Holla at your boy.
Always has been.
No, I thought it was 10 at one point. But get that. Bam. What else is there?
Guys, go to PUNCHDRUNKSports.com. It's only going to be there for a little bit until we get our new fancy schmancy
page.
It's
going to be a nice website, bro.
But go to punchdrunksports.com, click on the Amazon link. Like Ari Shaffir said, wherever he is and who knows, like Ari Shaffir said, just save punchdrunksports.com as your Amazon icon. So every time you got to do any shopping, click on that. Click on the Amazon link. Do whatever shopping you got to do. And that really helps the show out a lot, you guys. And I really appreciate it. And always go to the Patreon. And you can donate. And we're doing live podcasts, live content there just for the Patreon
people. Dude, go to the Patreon. We're going to do one tonight. Me and Jason are going to go to Comedy Store. We're going to try to do a recording there. And I know last week we didn't put one up. Our apologies. I got slammed with some great business stuff. So we're going to take care of that. And, guys, that's the bills, man. Bam! Under 5 minutes. Everybody else does like 3 hours of.
I'm so proud of us.
We get in.
You could also go to allcomedytshirts.com, and there are our current Punch Drunk shirts up there, and then we're working on new ones, and then that's going to be a pretty fancy thing on the site as well, guys.
Done. I'm going to put out Why Am I Lying on there. And guys, what week did we decide? We should do it on the. Are we going to have a. Yeah, February 14th, which is 2 weeks from now.
Valentine's
no, we should do it the next. February 21st. Let's move it back. February 21st is going to be the nanny t-shirt finals on who does the best. Like, he's like, Sam, how do I promote this? How do I send in my submission? All you have to do is upload to Twitter, tag me, the nanny, and Tebow, and we will take it into account. Winner gets $100, and you get your t-shirt made by us, nanny t-shirts. It could be anything. You know, there's three of us here. We all vote on it. So let's say you do, like, the nanny getting double anal by the Diaz. The nanny might not like it, but we might like it.
I mean, and I would like that in real life.
Yes, okay. We get that. But we might. That might be
I would love nothing more than a little kid getting sent home from school because he's wearing a t-shirt with you with a dick in every fucking hole you got. So, guys, help us.
Help us up here. And next week we're going to announce the... We're going to announce the categories for the punchies. Is that cool? We should sit down on a day since there's no football.
I say we do it at 11:05 next week.
We just announce it. We just announce it. So that's going on. Punchdrunk.com is going to be big. Guys, so much going on. Our guest is a black athlete, so who knows when he'll show up. He's running on black athlete time and professional athlete time. He might show up tomorrow.
He might. I'm texting him right now.
All right. I mean, dude, everybody's talking about Tebow is in the zone. Look at him. A lot of, you know, the fight nanny was talking about how he's actually coordinated his outfit. He is trying to convince us he just threw this on.
He is head to toe Falcon colors.
Falcon colors.
Show everyone your ring, please.
Okay.
Let's see
hang
the
on.
Ring.
I'm just going to take
Let's
a little
see
bit.
Your grandma's ring you fucking ripped off from her.
Oh, my God, even your bag is black and red.
Well, I mean, do you think I went to and planned this? This bag is probably as old as you.
That is
Got my
gorgeous.
Red Super Bowl ring.
That's your red Super Bowl.
What shoes yeah. are you wearing?
Oh, the same
course.
Shoes
of course,
I always wear.
Black and red. So you just
yeah, there's
wear
in there. It's just, it,
you just wear black and red all day, every day, no matter what season.
Is, if
Nothing
it's football
to do
season,
with
as
the
much black and red as I can wear. When I bought these shoes, I go, oh, there's black and red in there. That's Falcon friendly. Mm-hmm. I say shit is Falcon friendly if I'm wearing it.
Got it. It I mean,
so what
you nailed it.
You a black it. Cherokee chick. Do you go, oh, that's black and red? That's Falcon friendly?
Come on, Sam. I
that ring that. Is ridiculous.
That my ring Super Bowl looks ring. Like it should be on
a, Wait till this is replaced with ring. A Falcon symbol and a Super Bowl victory.
I can't tell if that was like a family heirloom or you got that for 25 cents. Which
no,
one
it's,
is that?
It's actually a combination of both. I got it from Boone Shakalaka for a dollar.
So we have no idea where it could be from.
You can't just give him a dollar. He has to give you something. Yeah. One time I put $20.
Do you pay him for his friendship?
I think everybody in this town pays everyone for their friendship.
That's true.
If you weren't on this podcast, you would never talk to either one of us unless Sam's like, hey, I need you to sell tickets
That's
tonight.
Not true. I talked to you guys for 3 years before I was on this podcast.
Yeah. She's a friend.
That was a giant ploy to get on the show. We
yeah.
don't know that, Sam.
What a long plan she had. What
hey,
a long plan.
That's how women are for you, man. They're just fucking diabolical.
We got UFC. Gabe Killian wants to call in at some point when we decide to tell him to call in. He wants to give us his, bro, I got my UFC picks, bro. I give you UFC picks.
For what, 209?
Yeah, for what?
I guess so. When is 209?
208 is first. Not that it's
when
a good
that?
Card.
209 is like the
March,
week before the
March
Super Bowl.
March 4th.
Oh, that's 208. Is 208 the one with two belts on
the
line?
Is that the next one, 208?
No, that's 209. 208 is the Holly Holm one.
Oh, that's got to be.
That's not a good card.
I think that's on air right now.
It's that's not a bad card.
No, well, I love Holly Holm, but that's like the only good
fight. It's February 11th.
Yeah.
Yeah, why is he calling in with these picks already?
Yeah, what? But I guess there's two other shitty fights. There's fights this weekend.
February 11th is 208. And then, okay, yeah, that's right.
There's free fights on Fox this weekend. Maybe he wants to talk about that.
Usually they do a UFC fight. I mean, usually they do a Super Bowl.
Win Super Bowl.
That's what I was thinking.
We all know. I don't know.
What is the Super Bowl? The fifth. That's weird. They didn't do it this time.
There's one on the 4th.
UFC? Which one?
Just a fight night. Bermudez versus Korean Zombie. He's back from the Army.
I love the Korean Zombie. He's back from the Korean Zombie. He's back from the Korean Army?
Yeah, he's back.
Oh, that's great.
Did he really have to go to the Korean Army?
Yeah,
for
you know,
a while?
He's one of those countries
he's been
where
in
you
the
have
Army
to
for a while.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Now he's back fighting. He's got that Korean Army jiu-jitsu he's going to be working.
And dude, and that's got to be like, thank God I'm in the octagon, not getting shot at by all these crazy people.
By these North Koreans?
Exactly.
You had a guy on the Cubs, Hesop Choi, who had the same...
Had to do the same thing, huh?
I think he got exempt from it.
Of course he did.
But yeah, he was facing it.
Wow.
Everyone's got to do 2 years.
And there's nothing that they would love more, especially Koreans, but any other country, Russians, whatever, they're like... Yeah, man, you can go play baseball, but don't get on a hot streak because we're going to call you in the military just to fuck with you. Just to remind Americans.
Well, we did that, too. We used to do that, too.
To what athletes overseas?
We used to fucking with our baseball players, anybody. They all, like, had to leave for a short time to go fight in the military.
I mean, that was WW2.
Yeah, but that still happened.
And, they were, like, living here. You're talking about the draft?
Yeah.
And this is different. This is, you're free to go to another country, but at any point in time, we're just going to call you back and make you do 2 years.
Well, it's not
that
you're free to go. You're free to go play pro ball that happens to be the Premier League in another country.
Yeah, but if you're Korean and you're pitching for the Cubs and you're living in Chicago and you're, let me put it in terms you understand, there's pussy and drugs everywhere and you're just living the dream.
I don't do drugs anymore. I'm just over them.
That's
great.
That's great.
I'm thinking about smoking weed again.
If you're... Well, there's no better time to do it than now.
I've been thinking about it.
There was just something Rogan posted something about that where I was like, it was pulled off the list of gateway drugs.
Oh, yeah.
Was? Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
But that was their number one argument for 70 years.
Of course. Yeah. It was all a lie. It was all done by corporations who got fucking...
There is no gateway
to buy
drug.
Into that stuff. Like as a guy into conspiracies and all that stuff, and I have a conspiracy theory podcast, believe it or not, Jason.
You do?
The rule I hate is that people go, well, it's illegal. Like, people don't understand about legal versus illegal, what people don't understand about legal, it's the people making the laws tend to benefit from making stuff illegal. Do you understand? Like, the people making the laws are the ones who use the laws. Oh, look who's got his Falcon colors on, too.
Don't wear red in this room. You're going to get shit on. Oh, of course he did. Of course he did. Of course he did.
Why don't you introduce
him? Ladies and gentlemen, joining the show, safety for the U, which you never really talk about your days at Miami. I'm kidding. That's pretty much all you talk about. hilarious comic, Jared Campbell. Welcome to the show, motherfucker.
Yeah, the U. It's all about the U.
You are our first premier black athlete on our show.
Wow.
Is that true?
Congratulations. Who else is
with you? Your buddy played minor league basketball. Remember him?
Yeah.
He played for the Celtics and a bunch
Derek.
Of.
Derek? Yeah. He never played. That's why he hated all these point guards because he never could play. But he did play. He had his jersey retired by his. Yeah, and he was like the premier Australian basketball player.
As long as you play more like organized professional sports than us, we count you as a pro.
Well, I tapped out in football by eighth grade.
I was probably right on that, too.
That's right when you should have retired, man. Yeah. That's right. That's like the prime age of retire, I feel like. It's like right when they start putting on pads.
The press conference was huge. The press conference was huge.
I think that was a detention that you had.
I did get back in the saddle and was voted most improved on my high school bowling team, which is a true thing. And
most improved in
bowling?
Yeah,
we went to county and I wrecked everybody. I even had everybody else on the other team cheering for me because I was just... I was hitting the pocket. I was getting that pin action. Literally probably the highest athletic moment of my life. I don't know what that says about
me.
Yeah. I mean, like, I've won, like, basketball championships in, like, the Comics League and all that stuff.
Yeah, that doesn't count. I mean, it kind of does, but it's. I see what you're saying.
And then one time in intramurals in college, I went for like 8 3-pointers.
One of my accomplishments.
That's Steph Curry numbers right there.
Yeah.
But he didn't tell you he shot 61 of them.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
No, dude, I was 32%. Like 8 for 8. And everybody was like, damn, you're on fire, son. And I'm like, yeah. I mean, it was one of those things where you just got the ball, you didn't even look, and I threw it up.
And it's just right. And just, you couldn't miss.
I was calibrated.
Now I'm mad you didn't shoot 9. Yeah. I'm really mad at that. Which is odd. You didn't know.
My problem was same thing for me. My probably greatest. Like sports game that I played of organized sports was also Ball State University intramural basketball. Same thing. I couldn't even miss, and everyone was starting to get pissed at me on our team. We had a good team. I chucked up a half court shot just to piss everybody off that was bitching about me shooting too much. Drained it.
Oh,
and
really?
Everyone looked at me like, dude, what? Okay, we're not gonna do shit. But I scored like 20 something points. But I was, you know, I hit the first four. And then I couldn't miss. I'm like, damn, I'm going to keep
shooting.
You got to
turn into Kobe. You got to go for 81 at that point, man.
Now watch this. What's your greatest probably sports highlight?
Man, I have a couple. Well, in high school, I scored 7 touchdowns in one game.
What? Running back?
Yeah, running back. And then they moved me to defense. I was defensive player of the game like 3 times my junior year, man.
Really?
UCF, Virginia.
Oh, in college?
Yeah. I had like 8 tackles, like a fumble recovery, forced fumble, like stuff like that.
What years were these?
I was at the University of Miami from 2007 to 2011.
And what, two-year starter?
Were you
starter?
Guys still Big East then?
No, we were ACC, man. And we were always like almost like the best team. Like we'd be ranked like 8th or 9th in the country. And
that's
got,
what's that like? What's that like? And you started?
Oh, yeah, man. I remember my first starting was against Florida State 2009 season. It was like, and I went from being like on the bench to like, hey, you starting week 1. And I was like, oh, no.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah. And so it's like this huge crowd. But that's always a neutral game for Miami because it's like half and half. People drive up there. People get drunk as hell. And so like we won that game by like 4 points. And I think the next day I like took my helmet off after a play and I was like all over ESPN.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's cool. Your Sports Center last night and then had me running across.
And that is your sophomore year or junior
year? Junior year.
Is that on your acting reel?
I should put it on there. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
That would be cool at the end of it.
Yeah. I
mean, just have a mix of highlights and acting, the scenes, and then a highlight hit sticks.
Yeah. It's like, by the way, hire me and you're not scoring on me.
I can't think of a better school to go to if I was an athlete than Miami. I mean, like, really, let's think of, like, your best schools for athletics and women. It's like Arizona State's up there, kind of, but they've never gotten their football team going. I mean, who else is there? I mean, it's like, it's got to be the Florida State's got to be up there, too. But nobody has the city on top of the university that Miami does.
And that was the thing about it.
I couldn't imagine it.
It's the worst thing because you can stay out till 6 a.m. and you got workouts at 7. Like, that's the problem about Miami. My recruiting visit, I went out there. It was a Super Bowl weekend. It was the year that I think the Saints played. I forget the teams that were there. It was the Saints or somebody.
Who did they get to show you around? Because they usually dazzle you with, like, a big guy. Like, somebody that were like, hey, you can hang out with me if you come here.
Well, they coded it. My brother was out there. He was his last year at the time, so he came and took me around.
Okay.
But at the same time, it was a dude, Chevis Grant, was a cornerback. He was, like, a freshman. Usually people don't want to host people unless it's, big name.
Right,
you don't want to give your weekend away. They're like, meeting up with people's parents and putting on,
yeah.
We're going to take good care of them. You want to go out and chill, relax. Yeah. So, but it was my brother really took me around. At one point, it almost felt like I was just hanging out with him.
Yeah.
We went to the mall. He got me a pair of shoes. And then, like, we went to the club. And I remember we went to Club Bed, and we seen, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Uncle Luke. You guys know who Uncle Luke is?
No, who is that?
Luke Skywalker. Freak Nasty. So he's
Two
like
Life
a
Crew?
Yeah.
We're white. We can't call him our uncle. So.
Yeah, so... He's like a diehard Canes fan, and so we went to like Club Bed, which is
He's all over it.
Didn't he get in some sort of trouble, or wasn't his name attached with like paying players back in the day or something like that?
I think he was. I think it was a point in time where he was like, you know, NCAA is assholes these days.
They are,
man.
Dude, because everybody's cheating, dude. Don't tell me Duke gets all those great players and isn't doing shady shit.
I mean, I'm going to tell you, any team that was bad and newly gets good with a new coach, they're all cheating, all right? Ole Miss, I'm not snitching on these guys, but Ole Miss is offering cars to recruits on recruiting visits.
Yeah.
If you're listening, Ole Miss, I probably could punt. Maybe not. But daddy could use a whip.
So, dude, you go to the U, it's like you guys are 8th, it's kind of resurgence, and just Like, what do you – like, are there girls whose job it is to bone the guys coming in? Like, that's their job?
Oh, man. See, now you're trying to get us in trouble.
No, dude. I'm trying to live your life. I know in a bowling recruit
I didn't know at the time. I think when I was like, you know, you're like 18 years old. You think this is life. You don't know the other side of life, and you don't know, like, how hard it could be.
Sure.
And so at the time, I thought I was like, oh, this is just normal. And then I realized afterwards, like, I had it really fucking good.
Yeah.
You know, I think you, a lot of times, especially when you live on a campus, when you leave college – you just have that young cockiness where you're like, the world is filled with hot 24-year-olds that all live in this within the same square mile of each other and love to fuck. Nope. Nope.
I was doing this gig last weekend in San Diego, and I was just like, guys, enjoy it. And it's all college kids. I'm like, this is the best it gets from you. It all goes downhill. And they all got quiet, and they're just like, what? It's not always like this. Now, as a comedian, you get to – I basically – up until recently, have lived as a college kid well into my 30s. I have just, you know, not making shit ton of cash, but living, partying, banging chicks. It was great, man. But that's not for everybody. And it's so funny when you're in college, older guys are like, it's not always like this. You're like, whatever, old man. It's always like this. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, hello? Hello? Where are the chicks that just want to get weird, don't even care to know my name? They're gone.
I just always find myself sitting at the end of a bar talking to some 70-year-old junk who goes, be careful what you wish for.
So what was your favorite moment of your sports career?
I have to say beating Florida State. That was my first game I told you I was starting in. And that was the last time we beat Florida State as Miami. It's been 8 years since Miami's beat Florida State. We went to their house. And, you know, it's always weird. You're on the bus and it's just women. Every time you see it's old, like 45 women just going, fuck you guys, out the window, right? And you're like, all right, you know what city you're in. And, like, we went out there and it was a close game. We beat them. And that's like, that high doesn't come in anything else.
That was a road game.
It was a road game. We came back. It was like the last play ended. It was like a third and three.
How many people were playing? How many people were watching the game? How many people going to
that game?
It was
like a Monday night game, so it was like the only game on TV. And it's like sold out. Florida State and Miami always sells out. And the last play of the game was the deciding factor. They were on a 3-yard line. It was like 4 seconds left. They didn't have any timeouts, so they couldn't run it. Quarterback rolls out, and he throws the ball. And I'm behind this guy, right? Because my dude, and it looks like this guy caught it, but you know you can't do it. I'm like, no, he missed it. I'm shaking my head, no, right? And then finally the ref came in and agreed with me, like, no.
Oh, so they threw it to your guy?
No, it was my guy got off my guy because my guy was, like, running out there, and I seen the ball throwing out. So I turned around to see the guy. And really, we watched film the next day. The guy was supposed to be covering. This guy just blitzed. He was like, fuck it, make a play. Blitz. He wasn't supposed to blitz. This guy's wide open, just dropped the ball.
But did he get yelled at? Because you're like, if that guy catches the ball, we're fucked.
So the thing about it, when you win, all your mistakes are forgiven. Yeah. It doesn't matter. You can have the worst game ever. If you win, I remember I tried to tackle DeMarco Murray, whiffed. And against Oklahoma.
I remember you telling me that.
DeMarco Murray, I fucking missed. He runs 65 yards down. It should have been a touchdown. One of the other safeties caught him. We won the game. All is forgotten.
But when you whiff on that, is there a part of your head that goes, because you're a kid. People forget you guys are kids. Is there a part of you that goes, I either just lost my starting spot or my scholarship?
Oh, every play you make a bad play, you think this film room is the most depressing thing. You're walking there like, it's the last day, man. They're going to fire me after this day. That's what the NFL is like. NFL days, every day after practice, you're like, today's the day I'm getting cut. It's the end of the road. Sad music playing in your headphones.
Just boys to men.
But I can't even imagine being in Miami, being a fucking hurricane football player.
How heavily recruited were you as a high school player? Because now I know you got your brother there, and he's a superstar. So he's there, so that probably helped your cause
huge.
A little bit.
He had just had a good year.
I can't believe we're the same species. Like, that's how big your brother is.
That's weird, right?
You're younger.
He's so big, I call him Deep Space, because he's so big.
He's huge. He ducks his head on every stealing door. Yeah. He ducks his head on fans. He's just smart now.
And you're the younger of the, you're the younger of the two.
I'm the younger one. Every time
you must have just crawled out of your mom. She didn't even go into labor. And you're just like, hey, I'm here. rang a doorbell.
No. The weird thing about it is, like, I got to this height at, like, 14. Like, I was big as hell.
Oh, you went
13.
Oh, okay.
And so everybody's like preparing me. I'm on the basketball. They're working me on center drills. Like, this kid's going to be 7 foot. And, like, everybody thought I was going to be huge. And then so finally, that was like the peak. That's as tall as I got.
Uh-huh.
And you were this tall in seventh grade.
Then, like, eighth grade, ninth grade, I was this tall. I put a little more muscle on and weight, but I was 6 foot at like
14.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And you just never had that next spurt.
I think it's coming. I think it's about to come soon. I think at like 33, it's going to be the biggest waste. It's going to be like, damn, I'm 6'8". 32 years old. Sports career is out the window.
Oh, wouldn't that be horrible?
None of my clothes fit.
We always say on this show, and you have a whole different thing because you actually did play for the Cardinals for a little bit, but we have a thing on this show we always talk about, at what age did we decide as men you're not going pro at anything? And it's like, for me, because I think guys just hold on to that, like, man, I could maybe ping pong or something. Like, there's got to be some sort of way I could get a belt. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to be number one.
ESPN 2 is all sports that drunk white guys invented at bars. That's all it is.
And
it's like,
great.
Watch me lift this thing, darts, yeah. Bowling, esports. It's all white drunk guy bar sports.
That's
so
all
a matter of time for beer pong's like an Olympic sport.
It's
man.
All going to yep. be, dude. As long as there's somebody who just can't play real sports, they're going to make up a sport that they could dominate.
When Shaq retired, because he was the same age as me. So we're the same age in college. When Shaq retired from the NBA, I was like, damn, man, he had like a long career. Like, it might be over for me.
It might be
Is that
over.
Part of your brain as a man that still thinks like, man, maybe someday?
You know what's so interesting about Shaq is like, as dominant as we think he was, I think he's even more dominant than that. He literally made people think that the center position is gone because nobody else could play it like him. And now you look at, there's like 7 or 8 awesome centers in the NBA. The problem is that none of their teams are winning. There's just, that's the, it's like the running back in the NBA, in the NFL. It's like, yeah, some of these, you, it's great to have a great running back, but it's way more important to have a great quarterback and wide receiver, right? Wouldn't you agree in this modern day and age? If you just, your best player is your running back, I don't know how well you're going to play.
Barry Sanders, man.
Yeah. You're not going to make the playoffs. Same thing in the NBA. If your best player is your center, you're probably not going to make the playoffs. Because this is a.
I don't know. Falcons did.
What?
Falcons did.
Their best player.
It's Matt Ryan or Julio Jones.
Are you talking about Alex?
None of this happened without Alex Mack. None of this happened until we got him this year.
Damn, the unsung hero.
We have the exact same team we did last year, minus our new fucking $25 million center.
Well, we got the, you put it those that way.
No, dude.
That's the secret.
We're talking centers
in
the
NBA.
Well, you said it can't be your receiver, running back, or your center.
No,
you switch sports.
Who's the center for the Raiders?
No, the center for the what's his name? We got him from Kansas City. He's fucking wonderful.
Oh, and you know who actually started and the playoff game because the whole team was injured was a guy from Miami, John Feliciano.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played there. He was like a freshman. I was there. But he started there.
Yeah.
How many guys went pro from your team?
Everyone.
All of them.
Everyone. In fact, they're sad. Like, they're all like getting married. They all got cars. They're posting, you know, this is my new house. They got all like second contracts. And I'm just sitting there like, fuck, how am I going to make rent this week?
Dude, let me tell you something. I've worked with you a couple times, but I worked with you for sure at that Theo Von show, and you crushed. You got a bright future, dude. It's all good. It's just, I know everybody wants it right now, and then we won't get off track, but it's like there's a reason why. You're just going to fucking, you know, fine-tune your kung fu, and then it will all come together. It's like there's something about athletes when they get into comedy. It's just they have a work ethic, and they just – like, look at Brandon Schaub. I mean, like, he was in the NFL. Then he went to UFC. Now he's doing this podcast that's huge, and he's starting to do stand-up, and he's already getting really good at it. So it's just a matter of time. It's just got to stay in the pocket, dude.
He went to my high school.
Who, Brandon Schaub?
Yeah, Overland High School.
Was he good in football?
I don't remember. I found it out later, but I was like, wow.
He made the league.
That's crazy, right? He's an athlete.
Yeah. He was a top 10 heavyweight.
We need to get, I'm trying to get all the best athletes, and we're just going to do a stand-up tour and just go market and try to get arenas, right? We're just doing stadiums. Georgia Dome.
Yeah.
I love that.
Are they tearing down the Georgia Dome?
Yeah, that was the last game at it.
Are they going to tear it down?
Yeah, it's a parking lot.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but
the next stadium's right next to it.
Yeah, have you seen? I can't believe they built it so, I mean, like, it's
kind of. That's what Chicago did. That's what Chicago Stadium did with the United Center.
Yeah, but how are they going to explode that and then not get it? Fuck up the. It's literally next door to it.
Yeah,
no. It's like us sitting here and she's like, I'm going to shoot you in the head but not get anything on you.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like. Yeah,
you know, it's like
Yankee Stadium, same way. Old ones right across the street.
That was the worst thing they ever did. The Yankee Stadium, it's not, it's so weird. It wasn't even, it's not even bigger. It was the dumbest thing to get rid of. Get a Yankee Stadium.
I'm sure the concessions are much better.
I doubt it.
It was rough at old Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, but there's history, dude.
Rat dogs.
Yeah, like Fenway.
If your grandpa can sit in those shitty seats, so can you. You're going there for the history and the game.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying.
And all I got to say is since then, the Yankees have sucked.
They won the World Series the first year of the Yankee Stadium. But all right.
But since then.
Yeah,
since then.
Since then, then.
Okay.
So since stick then, that in then, your stadium.
Shit ain't been popping.
Yankees. What did you think of the games this weekend? We saved the games
for you.
Can you
watch football now? You don't play it anymore.
Oh, man. I watch it. I'm like, fuck, how are these guys not getting hurt? That shit looks painful.
Yeah.
It's bad.
They are hurt.
Oh,
this
no.
way, everybody's hurt.
So, I remember the thing. The rule of thumb was, it's like, as long as you went full speed and you didn't like play scared, you would never get hurt. Because you get tense up, you actually get hurt. So you just got to fly around. But now I'm watching guys, like the receivers know to duck. So it's just like two linebackers just colliding head on, trying to tackle the receiver. It looks painful from like the TV. I don't know if they're adding CGI.
You've been out of it for a while.
No, I'm like, I remember I used to hit legs. You get to the NFL, those guys are all like 6'2", 240 pounds, 4'3 speed. I'm going for your legs every time.
Yeah.
But like those guys are like, it's real like the high collision hitting right now.
Yeah.
If I was out there, I'd have a prison shank. And I'd just be like, shuck, 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 shuck.
That's what happens under the power. Don't ever be at the bottom
of
the
power. Did you see that college game where that guy grabbed that dude's dick? It looked like he was damn near beating him off. Did you know what I'm talking?
It didn't look painful. It looked like he was trying to please him, didn't he?
It really did look
good
like
run.
He was like, hey,
good
man,
run.
Good run, bro.
Finish it off.
Like you were petting a kitten. He looked like he was petting a kitten, but it just happened to be a guy's sack.
I always wonder, it's like, I get the, like that guy from Cincinnati, the guy who's always getting... Vontae, perfect. He's always getting trouble. I'm like,
everybody hates
at
that
the end
guy.
Of the day, man, it's like you're all professionals. Like, I mean, like, I understand wanting to get somebody out of the game so they can't play, but like, why like really hurt somebody's career? It just, I just don't. Maybe I'm just not competitive like that. But I would never want to injure somebody so badly that they couldn't play for the rest of the season or ever again. That's like at the end of the game, we're all just trying to make a fucking dollar. Like, the days of just, like, team, yeah, team, I think free agency has killed that off.
Well,
you never know where you're going to play next year. So why, like, make an enemy and piss people off?
Even though we're all on a different team, we are, you know, all in the same union.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's just in the moment. In the moment, it's like war.
That's what it is.
People are talking shit. You're talking shit to them. It's just a...
What's the meanest thing you've ever said to somebody when you were covering them?
I used to fuck around with people a lot because my game, you could never get me off my game. I would just talk shit to you and then see you try to do something you don't normally do. And I just, but like, I don't know, you hear it all. In high school, I used to hear racist shit all the time.
Like white guys would say?
Give me your top.
Yeah, I was really good at football. And so like in high school, like.
Yeah, we know. You went
they would, no, they would transfer me. Like I would go to different schools. Like if teams really wanted, they would like, they would like pull strings to make me come there. And I went to this all white school, Golden, Colorado, like my junior year of high school. And then I was like the only black kid in the league. And I used to hear it all the time that people be racist.
Give me top 500 racist things people have said to you.
I mean, shit. Let's just leave it alone because they're right.
When you went to an all-white school, did white girls' eyes just light up? They're like, oh, this is new?
It was nothing like I thought it was going to be because I remember we had like our own place, me and my brother Severin. And we were like, yo, it's going to be like college. We're going to make it big. And then you get there, you're like, these girls are obviously, you know, it was one of those schools where women lose their virginity at prom.
Yeah.
That kind of vibe.
Oh, yeah. Like Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah,
shit.
It wasn't inner city, you know, girls, you know, this is, I've done this before type activity.
Right. Yeah, right. And then,
that's
got to be crazy just saying racist shit and then you pick them off and then you just like laugh in their face.
I know, we had the reverse of that because I kind of grew up like right outside like Chicago and in my freshman year of high school, we played Gary's basketball team, which was like 20 minutes, and they were always like lights out. Like,
oh, yes, Gary, Indiana.
Trust me. Like, they had players that you're like, this guy's got to be 30. You know, he's got a full-on beard. His kid is right there, and he's 8. But so
he has to win. You seen the freshman.
And we had a pretty decent team. They beat us by 22. And on our way out of town, threw rocks at the bus. Like, we had to get under our... And I'm, like, under the bus, like, under my seat, going, damn. Like, what would have happened if we'd have won? They beat us by 22, and rocks are blowing through the
Gary
windows of the bus.
Don't give a
fuck. That's just the routine. They just throw rocks regardless of the outcome.
They don't give a fuck.
Dude, in a town of 90,000, 3 years in a row, murder capital of America. Not Indiana. America.
And they also have Michael Jackson from there. So, I mean, it weighs up, man. They got the best, greatest performer of all time.
Hey, dude, out of adversity comes greatness, man.
Yeah, so how'd that work out for Michael Jackson?
Oh, did Joe Jackson?
Not good.
Joe Jackson was he inspired them in his own ways. With beatings and molestations.
And that's the thing. All these things, you're like, oh, we can't beat our kids. Can't beat our kids. Look at some of the best people in American history were beat pretty much to death.
Not beat, but it's like... Like we've changed what childhood is now. Childhood is about coddling, and people don't understand. It's like it's about pushing them to be great. So when they do get out there, they got shit going on, and that's why all these kids. I know I hate beating up on millennials because I do think they're just doing the best with what they got. But it's just like there's no adversity until there's too much adversity, and they just disintegrate. Like they're notorious for quitting jobs every other week.
I'm just saying Michael Jackson was beaten as a kid, and I wasn't, so beat your kids.
That's
a
great point.
You want to end up like this?
Yeah,
beat your kids.
Right. I wonder what percentage of children raised by lesbians were beat.
Probably a lot.
Really? You think lesbians get the belt out?
Dude, you've been around enough lesbians. They're insane people.
Now, which one of your moms was the girl, and which one was the dad in the relationship who paid for everything and bitched about your mom spending all the money?
It was pretty even. It was pretty even.
Really?
I would think, yeah. I mean, they both had different roles or whatever, but there wasn't like... You know, I never, like, walked in and one was shaving her face and the other one's knitting a sweater. I don't know what your point is.
Now, we all found our dads.
Which one of your dads wishes he had a mom's, wishes he had a dick, and which one
we
is a real
one?
We all
found our dad's Playboys. Did you ever find your mom's strap-ons?
Nope. I don't know if they got down like that.
What do you mean? They didn't have sex?
No, but I mean strap-ons. I don't know if they were always...
Do you know that they say in lesbian relationships, they get to a point where they don't have sex anymore?
My best friend is
every relationship is.
No, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, they never have sex. They haven't had sex in like a year, but like they claim they love each other. I'm like, I don't understand.
Yeah, it's just a different thing.
You can only beat clams so much.
But also, my best friend is clearly the boy in the relationship. So I feel like that's a normal question. And she dates like really pretty girls.
Yeah. Pretty girls who got cheated on by dick, so they're dating lesbians until they realize it's my joke that they don't like changing their own tires anymore and paying for their own shit, and then they run back to dick. That's how it goes. That's how it goes. Let's get some football!
Isn't that all we've been talking about?
No. Well, we've been talking about his football career, which was fun.
There was good games this weekend. Like, you can't miss these games. Can I tell you my picks before the game? Like, what I thought.
Before you do that, what were your picks when the playoffs started to give me some street cred with you? Because you're going to say something
100%.
Crazy.
I'm going to tell you right now. This is crazy. I like going wild. I don't like doing the most predictable. I called the Atlanta Falcons going to the Super Bowl.
So did I 11 years ago.
No, I called them this year. I seen the way they were playing. And then I called the Chiefs. And the
so
Chiefs
did I. That's crazy. That's what I said when I was on that Falcons podcast like a month ago. That's exactly what I said. They go, you're crazy. I'm like, dude, the Chiefs could do it.
It's like every buddy cop film where the black cop and the white cop realize they're more alike than they are different.
He looks like he was in love right now. Well,
sports. We both know sports really well. So that's like that was a good pick for like.
No, I thought Kansas City had a chance. Kansas City's problem is that Alex Smith isn't an elite quarterback and isn't going to beat you. And now they have to decide between if they want to re-sign Barry or Poe? Like, who are they going to sign? Who are they going to designate?
You can't let Barry go.
Yeah, cancer.
They're already talking about keeping Poe. I'm like, oh, let him go, dude. Raiders, get Barry, dude.
You can't get rid of a guy. It's a PR nightmare. If they're both even and one guy just beat cancer and became the comeback player of the year, you're like, fuck, dude. If we get rid of the guy that just beat cancer.
Maybe I'm wrong, and you tell me if I'm wrong. I think it's easier to draft a defensive lineman to make an instant impact than it is to draft a quarterback, cornerback to make an instant. Because I think there's just so much. Maybe I'm wrong. You know,
corner or quarter?
No, corner.
Okay. Corner. And they're both very easy transition positions.
Oh, really?
Because defensive tackle just does what the linebacker tells him. He piles a hole. You can do that just being athletic.
That's what
you
I'm
need
thinking.
No. And cornerback, a lot of times it's like, hey, just stay with that guy. And so I think the harder positions are like free safety, middle linebacker, rookies. Those ones are the ones that...
Because you got to know the whole goddamn playbook. Free safety and linebacker, you're the quarterback on the field. You got to know what every person is doing.
But then you see it. I mean, every year they draft somebody and he's fucking amazing. Eric Reed, Tyrann Mathieu.
Tyrann Matthew's great.
I think Tyrann Mathieu
cool
banged our friend.
Yeah, he's really cool.
I thought so,
Kate Quigley, she just hangs out with pro athletes. Like, Kate Quigley is... the equivalent of Ari Shaffir. Like, nobody's taking advantage of their fame more. Like, Ari's all over the world, and Kate Quigley is just banging pro athletes.
I love her podcast. She does it here, and she always talks about stuff like that.
That's
she's
all she
so,
does
like,
is bang.
Open.
And she'll send me a picture. Cool. Who is this guy? I'm like, you're banging that guy? That's unbelievable.
Yeah, she'll, like, casually be like, I went out with Terrell Owens last week.
Can be my tumbo.
Yeah.
She, like, goes to kiss him, and he goes, no. Push her head down. I'm going to dunk this one in your throat.
So who'd I have? I mean, I always take the Raiders, but once we lost Carr, I knew that we weren't going to win.
That was just one of those things.
We were just
a different team. Different team.
Before we get our picks, I want to talk about how quarterbacks is now gotten to the point where, like, you have to win while your quarterback is on his rookie contract, or else he's going to eat so much of your salary cap up. It's hard to fix your team once you have a deficiency. A great example is the fucking Seahawks. Ever since he signed that giant contract, and I'm saying get all that money. Get that money. Okay? But once you sign that contract, it gets very hard for your team to be able to rebuild parts that are deficient because salary cap. And listen, I don't believe in salary caps, except I believe in salary caps. Let me just tell you what I'm saying. I wish all owners would do anything to win. The problem is that you always have owners that treat sports like their regular business. And like, yeah, billionaires like to spend money on women, cars, planes. But when it comes to their business, all they want to do is cut corners. So you'll get those owners to be like, I don't want to spend that money because they just want to take in all the money. And then you got guys who will do whatever they can to win, and they'll buy everybody. And if you had all owners like that, then I would say no salary cap. But you need a salary cap to keep the teams that have the owners who won't spend competitive.
Yeah, Jerry Jones with Cowboys win every year.
Yeah, every year. He'd have every great player.
I think that's more of a GM's job than anybody else's. It's like if you got a rookie quarterback and you know this is going to be your guy and you know in 4 years you're going to have to pony up for him, you got to plan ahead of that. But otherwise, yeah, you are fucked.
But they're just breaking the bank. Like even middle of the pack guys are just $130 million. Like, I mean, get me wrong, Kirk Cousins had a great season. He's proven his worth. But you know he's going to break the bank like Aaron Rodgers' money. And let's be honest, Kirk Cousins is good. But he'll never be Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. And that's the thing about it, where it's like if a team invests, like what they did with Osweiler, which was the start of it, you gave Osweiler $82 million.
He sucks dick.
He's the worst. It's almost like they got a decision to make whether they're going to cut him or not.
What are they going to do with him?
He should take out an apology letter in the Houston Chronicle or whatever.
But what do you do with that guy?
My bad.
You're going to owe him all that signing bonus.
He literally lost them the game. Their defense played well enough to beat the Patriots.
Lost him a lot more than one.
He literally lost them the game in the playoffs. And they almost didn't make it because he was playing so bad. They had to replace him, and that guy got hurt. And at that point, he's hurting your team. Even though you're giving that money, you're like double hurting
yourself.
You cut
him and try to go after Romo.
I think, to be honest with you, I would think they should trade. I think if they could trade a defensive player and Osweiler, I think they might get Romo back.
Who's in a market for the ostrich? Nobody. Who'd want to pick his salary up and then Cleveland? Right. Maybe you could trick Cleveland.
No, I think Cleveland.
Cleveland's like the retarded kid on the block. You keep doing magic tricks for.
The Colts are that good. That team.
You don't like Jackson?
The Colts, I mean, they got that Trent Richardson trade, and after that I was like, these guys are just the suckers of the league.
Yeah. You could follow the paper trail of Trent Richardson to who has a bad GM at the time.
I mean, do Alabama running backs ever do well? I mean, like, dominate? I mean, we had what's-his-face for New Orleans. He's a good player.
Oh,
but
no.
He's not a, like, Ingram. He's not, like,
he's a
dominator.
Back.
But he's, all right, you got to understand, the easiest running back it is when you have a quarterback that can throw the ball, teams are not playing for the run. So when the teams are not playing for the run, if you don't get at least 4 to 5 yards to carry, you're really bad. And so I think Ingram is really – it's just a good scheme that's helping him. Because if you look at it, Tim Hightower, after he left, did just what he did afterwards. And it's like –
so did Chris Ivory.
So at that point, I don't know if Ingram's great. I mean,
Henry didn't have a – he had a decent season, but not a great season.
Yeah,
but
change
of pack, change of pace back.
I think he would have. If DeMarco Murray went down in week two, I think Henry would have had one hell of a year. Because that line, I mean, you saw what DeMarco Murray did with them.
But then,
I think Travis Henry would have done all right.
Murray's good, though.
I know, I'm saying, but if he – part of the reason we never heard Travis Henry's name is because DeMarco Murray was second in the NFL in rushing.
But they wanted Henry to be the guy. Murray was kind of like the receding guy. And You can't compare those two. DeMarco Murray is a seasoned vet. Like, there's only a few.
You're just saying that because he torched you.
No, I mean, shit. We won that game. We beat those guys.
Right.
But
You had to tackle him.
I mean, I tackled him a couple times. I got a good couple hits on him, but just that one play, y'all whiffed, and he got 60 yards.
When you hit somebody hard like that, what do they say? They ever say, "Oh, good hit," or are they like, "Oh, fucker"?
Oh man, sometimes I hit this tight end, and he was just like, "Oh," you knew he was hurting, but I felt so good. Everybody's jumping on me on my head, and I'm like, "Yeah."
Was Jimmy Graham on your team?
Jimmy Graham was on my team one year, and he's a product of like I think Drew Brees did a real good job with him too, because like
I think if I was a team, I would trade for that guy. I'd be like a team that needs an off. Like if I'm the Raiders, I'd throw them a fucking pick for that dude.
What are you talking about?
Jimmy Graham? Graham or whatever.
Jimmy Graham, he's definitely an athlete. He's one of the most athletic players on the field. But this is one of those things, like Gronkowski's just a game changer. Like a tight end like that.
He can stay healthy.
Yeah, they're talking about they might cut him. Dude, he's not playing like half the games anymore. Yeah. They're in the fucking Super Bowl without him. He's eating, like they got to pay him signing bonuses and all this shit. It's like he's never healthy.
You're right.
Yeah, ever.
I mean, I know we're not getting into predictions, but I think this Patriots team is not as good as everybody thinks they are.
Agreed.
And I think Gronkowski is a game changer because you have to literally put a corner-type safety on him. He can't put him on a linebacker, and God forbid you put him on one of those outside linebackers that's at slash DN. Gronkowski, like if you watch the game they lost to the Broncos last year, he did almost everything in his power to bring that game back. And you just don't find talent like that anymore. He was what Julio Jones is to the Falcons is what Gronkowski was to the Patriots last year.
I would tell you Graham and Gronkowski changed the game, and in my opinion, we've talked about this before on the show, is why the running back has made a comeback is because those linebackers now have to be able to cover these huge tight ends who are very nimble. So you can't have those linebackers that the Steelers used to have. Like even though he's playing, he's Harrison. Like that's a dying breed to be like 280. You got to be able to cover these guys out. So they're smaller. So the hits are smaller, aren't as big. So now I think that's why you're seeing a little resurgence in the running back because the linebackers are. You're starting to see them using safeties and cornerbacks as linebackers, and that's why the running backs making the comeback.
No, it's at the new hybrid position is, I think the Cardinals, they drafted a guy, a safety, strong safety, and they put him, Deion Buchanan, they put him at middle linebacker. And he
same thing with Keanu Neal. Same kind of Cam Chancellor, that kind of hybrid, you know, you could bring the wood, but you can also cover somebody if you have to.
I think overweight people are getting out the NFL as a whole. You're not going to see anyone fat in the NFL. It's going to be a bunch
of 230-pound
linemen.
No more Wolfers. That guy looks like he is going to be buried in a piano.
That's
going to
be that's the only position because you have to clog that lane for that they can't run right down the middle.
Wolfert looks like he clogs a lot of things, that guy. Toilets.
You ever hear like the shit his teammates give him about his wife? Like that is, his wife is not the prettiest thing in the world, but you have to be a certain kind of woman to take that guy laying on you.
She's dope.
You love her?
So he's a Miami guy.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
No wonder you're so defensive.
They had his wife come to like talk to the team. And, like, she came and everybody was like, yo, whose wife is this?
Is she flat as fuck? Like,
no!
If she turns sideways, you can't see her?
I don't know. I couldn't tell if she was white or black.
I think she's white.
So she's white, but you don't know. Like, if you ever hear her talk, she has the most urban cadence. She came in, like, real like, so what y'all gonna understand, this college shit ain't forever. And she was, like, real like that. And she came with some, like, knowledge. Like, you need to get your shit together. You find you a good woman. And it was like, yo, after that, I respected her. Like, I need to get a good woman.
I really can't tell if she's white or black. She's white and just wants to be black?
By the way, this is the most research she's ever done on the show. She's our stat woman, and that's the first time she's looked up a stat.
Just find her player's wife.
I always look up girls when you talk shit. Or when you're like, this porn star is so hot. I'm like, what?
Here's our big pregnancy announcement photo, apparently.
Wait, I want to see.
What is it?
It's when they announced they were pregnant.
That's fine, dude. They seem happy. Like she looks.
I'm not judging anybody.
She can take some weight.
She's not as ugly as you made it seem.
I didn't say she's ugly. I'm saying he's gigantic.
Yeah, I mean, like,
he's 400 pounds.
Women are so interested because women can totally take you laying on them. They're like, I love this. And then you flip it the other way and they lay on you. You're like, oh, get off me. I can't breathe.
You think he's ever on top?
Oh, yeah.
No way.
100%.
He's strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's breeding stock right there.
But how does, like, your gut not interfere with that?
Well, he's probably got a fucking Alabama black snake down there, just a fucking huge. He probably lasso pussy
okay,
from across
not,
the room.
She's not that pretty there.
He could probably feed.
She's dope though.
He could like, probably feed dope. Himself peanuts with
I
his dick.
She's definitely worked out and got in shape. She's definitely yeah. like taking that fucking NFL money and got in shape, and she looks great.
But he's the kind of thing like guys like that, and guys like we were talking about this when we did that thing with Brent Ernst, where it's like, who's gonna get fat like. The fastest. You know what I mean? Because you look at someone like, even Ben Roethlisberger, he looks like a fat guy that just is working out enough to just hold it together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, his like, sister supposedly looks like the female version of him.
He'll retire and blow up. Like, I knew Byron Leftwich was going to get fat. He looked like Fat Albert, like, just hold, in Spanx.
Yeah.
It's all the small guys. All the big guys lose weight. You ever see a big guy there like, yeah, I was offensive lineman, you know, 1992 for the Broncos.
You think Vince Wilfork in 5 years is svelte.
I think he's at his peak of his weight. I don't think he can get too much bigger.
You'd
yeah,
be surprised.
I could see how they
but
could fuck.
Does he still play?
Yeah. yeah.
So when he stops playing, won't he just get huge?
Or did he
that's
just
my,
retire?
That's
yeah.
what I'm saying.
Did he just retire?
I don't know. I hope
he might
not.
Have. This. I mean,
he's 35,
maybe.
Guys. He's old.
Yeah, well, he might have just retired.
Like,
yeah.
Shut up. That's not that old.
I don't
that's
think he's old in general, but to play.
People see it. But, like, all right, even the D-tackle, like we were saying. My brother plays D-tackle now. He can play around the whole thing. But it's like people want a slimmer, like, taller guy. You want the days of just having a big guy to sit people up. But you want a guy that can be athletic and get out.
But your brother's very athletic. Your brother's not.
Your brother doesn't play the ends?
Clog.
He plays every position on the D-line. So they move him around. So he plays the three techniques. Sometimes they'll move him in front of the quarterback. He likes to play the edge because that means you usually get single blocks and he gets a lot better. But for the team, he'll clog up the middle for him, and he can still reach out and get those running backs. And so I just think I think everybody's getting a little smaller, a little faster, a little more powerful, to the point that running backs are almost the same size as, like...
Dude, Von Miller and Derrick Henry are physically the exact same person. If you look at their stats, they're the same weight, same height, had the same 40. Everything's exactly the same. It's unbelievable.
What was your 40 time?
I got slower as I got through college. I started out like a 4.49 guy, and then I ended up at the pro day. I ran a 4.62.
That's still fast as shit.
But I gained like 20 pounds in college. Like
now, did you have muscle?
Yeah, working out every day.
Did you have to go to Indianapolis for that, or you just had a pro day?
So, yeah, I was supposed to. So the thing is, our coach got fired right after he left.
Mm-hmm.
And I could have did.
After you left?
No, after the right season. And he was like, I was trying to, because I got hurt my senior year, so I almost like rotated in my junior. I started, had a really good year. Mm-hmm. Like, I had like 9 PBUs, and I really should have had like 12 picks, but it was like, but I got hurt. And so I remember he was telling me he was going to try to give me a medical red shirt so I can come back another year. And he got fired. The new coach came in, and he was kind of like, I want all new players. And so he didn't want to help me.
New management. And so it's new management.
And so my agent was like, I can get you in the combine, but I hadn't been training. So, like, if I would have went to the combine and did bad, it actually hurt you more
sure does.
Than you to do pro day and do good. Mm. And so I was like, I only got 2 weeks, 3 weeks to really prepare for this. I'm not going to do Indianapolis. And so that's why I just stayed there. And I worked out with pretty much every team. They all came out there. They all were like, want to see me. They did one-on-one workouts. You know, the Falcons came out
Who
there.
Who came? Do you remember?
I remember the Raiders came. It was Rod Woodson. But there's always some coach you don't really remember. They come and get like.
Rod Woodson, you remember.
Well, that's like a star player.
I know.
Yeah,
but at your position.
I think it was some white guy came from the Falcons.
Fucking white guys.
God. Probably Scott Case. Remember Scott Case?
Sent Morton Anderson.
Morton Anderson. They sent the kicker.
Did he look like 1,000 years old? Did he keep calling you a fella?
That's what they all do, man.
Say, fella.
Did you see that picture of the Green Bay Packers kicker where he's like, yes! But he's got camel toe going?
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that?
He's like this.
Even I saw that.
He looks pretty gay.
And so now it makes it look really gay. He's like, yes! It's so funny. So let's get in our predictions, man. Falcons versus Patriots. I know we got another week to talk about, but while you're here, what's your thoughts?
I mean, 3 points. It's the highest over-under in Super Bowl history.
We were talking on the ride here, and I didn't want to get too much in because I want to get your reaction. I think this is the best team that the Patriots have faced in the Super Bowl. With their defense coming on stronger, you know, Atlanta, and that offense being high octane. And they're, I mean, even though Julio Jones is banged up a little bit, he's still performing at a high level. I think they're. I think New England's in trouble. And if they do win this, this will be one of the greatest coaching jobs ever done. Because they're up against it, in my opinion.
Patriots or Falcons, you mean?
Patriots are in trouble, I think.
Well, I mean, I think we're better. I think Atlanta is better than people have said all year. I think only after this beating of Green Bay are people like, man, the Falcons are good. Like, I've been saying that since week four. I really have.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about the hot, like, 34 points a game average. That's insane.
They score points.
There are teams that didn't score. Matt Ryan threw touchdowns to 13 different players. That's a first in NFL history. Jay Cutler threw 9 touchdowns all season. You know what I'm saying? Ryan threw to 13 different people.
He's done.
There's probably 11 quarterbacks in the NFL that threw less than 14 touchdowns.
No, Matt Ryan is a true beast. I'm worried about this game, though. I'm going to be honest with you.
Why?
Because the Patriots are the team. All right, this is the type of game where if you have, like, veteran players are smarter. They've been through it. They've seen it all. They know how to adjust. They know how to do things.
No deer in headlights.
I think the Patriots are the type of team where, like, Atlanta has a great scheme. You know what they do? They if you man-on-man Julio Jones, he's going to beat you every time.
Kill you.
You have to double-team him. And after they do him, they don't really work with a tight end. Where a tight end would be great, they use their running backs to kind of take that safety where he's missing, and they just throw it out the backfield, and you pick your poison. And it's a great scheme, but if there's any coach that can, like, draw up a game plan to beat Atlanta, it's Belichick.
Fuck.
Yep. And the thing about it is, a young defense, they're playing really great football, like, right now. But it's like,
they're young.
Against Tom Brady in the Super Bowl on the biggest stage. I mean, you might see a Malcolm Butler type performance from somebody where they do something amazing. But I just think it's the only way the Falcons, it's just a close game. Falcons may win, but if it could get ugly at the same time.
Can I tell you something? That Malcolm Butler moment is the greatest moment in coaching I've ever seen in my life. Because if you actually look at what was going on before that play starts, New England has the worst goal line defense in the league. Statistically at that moment, they have the worst goal. The only chance they have is to convince the Seahawks to throw the ball. So they give them a defense in which it's like they read it. Pete Carroll changes the play to a throw play, and then the whole fucking lead up to the Super Bowl, they're telling Butler, you have to be there. You have to be at that place because that's where they're going to throw the ball. Belichick forces, like, does a mind game on Carroll to pass the ball. Carroll passes the ball, and they fucking lose the Super Bowl when they had the best running back to punch it in.
That was probably the dumbest play of all time on
Seahawks. Dude, he got Jedi tricked, bro.
I mean, still.
But I think it was financial, too. They didn't want to pay Marshawn Lynch money. And they were like,
do you really think it came all the way down to that?
I find that really hard to believe.
Maybe they wanted this that gets done. I mean, you figure you have another down left. You don't think you're going to throw an interception. And even if you watch their play, even though they planned it, he just made a hell of a play. He literally was behind the guy. He jumped and burst in front of him.
There was a second where it looked like they both had it.
Yeah, and it was meant for him. And I think that there's a lot of things. Like, you know, if you have to pay a player a lot of money, you'll start taking him out more, making sure he doesn't have crazy stats, because you want to keep the guy.
Who had a meltdown this year because he wasn't getting his touches and he knew it was going to fuck his bonus up? He threw his helmet on the sideline. It was a big thing. It wasn't DeMarco Murray. Might have been, who's a Jets guy?
Forte.
Might have been Forte.
Maybe, yeah.
Somebody was like, man, you could see he was yelling at the coach, and he's like, dude, I'm 5 touches away from, you know, another $500,000, and you pull me out of the game right now? What the fuck are you doing?
It's business. It's a
and then the
business.
Next week, he got like 40 touches or something crazy. Like, they was like, yeah, man, here's the ball, bro.
I wouldn't mind the Raiders signing Forte. I like him.
He's old.
I know, but he gets it done.
You think so?
He gets it done.
Oh, no.
He gets it done. I'm not a big Murray fan.
He's not. He's over. That line is so
that
good.
That line, he should be destroying everybody. He's getting like
DeMarco Murray?
Yeah. No.
He destroyed him.
No.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I'm not a big fan of his. I like the other guys more, but I don't think they're starting backs.
Yeah, who's the other guy? Richardson or something?
And then Washington.
Jalen Richards.
Yeah,
Washington. If they had a guy like Matt Forte, that's a game changer.
I would love to get that kid out of LSU.
Or that kid out of Florida State. Cook?
Oh, yeah. Have you seen his high school highlight tape?
Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
He reminds you of Warrick Dunn.
He's one of those few that come out like Ezekiel Elliott and, I mean, who would have thought Le'Veon Bell would be that great? But, you know, DeMarco Murray, those guys you know are going to be great right away.
Where did Le'Veon go to college? Michigan State?
Michigan State.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't
remember Bell. Yep. I was like, dude, that guy's good. And then it's like, But anyways, who's your – I mean, we know your pick. Wouldn't it be crazy if he's like,
he's
dude, I root for them, but I just think the Patriots are going to take it.
Patriots win 57-2, and I blow my brains out. No. So anyways, highest over-under in the Super Bowl era, and I believe it's like 58.5. I like the over on that.
Really?
32-35, that's the over. That's not unrealistic here. 34-28, that's the over. I don't think that's unrealistic.
Are you sticking with Atlanta?
And then Patriots by 3 is the spread. I think Atlanta wins by touchdown. 7.
Oh, wow, you're calling it 7. That's a great one.
Yep.
Statistically speaking, though, the unders always go under. I mean, when they have a high spread, they always go under. I remember the Colts versus the Saints was like the second highest one, like 50.
That is right.
54 or something like
yep,
that.
You're right.
And it went like, it was a 24-17 game, which I think is very possible for this game. Defenses always seem to prevail. Teams play a little more conservative.
It's going to be a fast game in a dome, both, you know, dome team.
I wouldn't be surprised if Belichick didn't slow the game down, too, if he didn't
change
the opposite game plan, because he came out throwing at the against the Steelers. I think he's going
to LeGarrette Blount to death.
I
love pounded. Blount. I mean, dude, if he didn't punch that guy in college, he would have fucking probably had a better draft, better. I mean, like, he's just interesting.
That was a life-changing moment
for
him.
But that punch was amazing.
I loved it.
The dude fell. I mean, I don't know what was going on in the field.
You see him going, yeah!
He's going, aha, doing like this. And
you
then it's
never
like,
see a punch like that. When's the last time you see a punch like that in the sports world? That
folded him, too.
Yeah.
And you know what? As a team, as a teammate, I'm like, that's the kind of guy I want.
You know what I'm waiting to see? These pro athletes are taking mixed martial arts, seeing some dude roundhouse kick a guy. Like, if you're in pro...
With cleats on?
No, like in basketball, this guy, Joseph James or something James from Miami, he's like a legit MMA star, but he plays pro ball.
James Johnson?
Yeah, and he's one of these dudes, he's the Jason Tebow of the NFL. Like, you never see him doing anything, but somehow at the end of the game, he's got, like, 14 points and 9 rebounds. Yeah. Like, how the fuck this guy... Like, only, like... basketball geeks realize how good this guy is, but he's like a legit black belt and a bunch of shit. I could see some dude just like, what, roundhouse kick a guy? He's fucking world star hip hop celebrity for the rest of his fucking life. Never has to buy a meal again, dude. I'm just waiting for someone to do a roundhouse kick on somebody.
I remember once we were doing the comedy basketball league, and I was having like one of those kind of games, and David Taylor's first time we were playing against each other, and Taylor comes up, he's like, dude, you actually... much better at basketball than I thought you would be. You're more athletic than I thought, man. You got like 12 points at halftime. I go, I gotta go outside and chain smoke, man. Let me know when a second half starts. He goes, that's more like it. I'm just standing outside smoking. Everyone's in there jumping rope.
So you think it's gonna be who? And then
I
mean, we'll move on.
I want every bit of my heart. I want Atlanta to win. I want Atlanta to win big. I want Atlanta to bring back the Dirty Bird and win the championship. That you know, my Broncos come from Denver. I used to love the Broncos when they beat them. But I think Atlanta is the team that everyone wants to win. If I had to speak out of logic, I would say chances are the Patriots are going to win. But who knows? Alabama was supposed to beat Clemson. They lost. I think Matt Ryan could have a hell of a game. I just think their defense isn't good enough. And their playoff route was not the most toughest to get to where they're at.
Us or theirs?
England didn't have a hard one. Pittsburgh.
Texans didn't even belong in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh, it's just like Big Ben and just everything just went to shit.
Well, they won 9 games straight. It's hard to go 10 games.
We beat Seattle and Green Bay. Yeah, that's not a cakewalk.
Seattle is half the team they were. They were the biggest overrated team.
That's what I said on the show last week. They played Russian roulette.
They have this worst offensive line. I suspect Russell Wilson to shake people. And, like, it was a matter of time before they got blown out.
If you can
contain
him, you can beat them. Dude.
I will say that the Seahawks beat the shit out of the Patriots in Foxborough. And with that being said, that does give me hope that Atlanta could potentially win.
I think Atlanta can win. I think Atlanta's going to win. I mean, dude, if the Patriots are holding up the trophy again, I don't think anybody would be surprised. But I think these teams are very similar, except for I think Atlanta's defense is starting to come on. They're healthier again, like you said. What's his name? Vic.
Beasley.
Vic Beasley's coming on. I think Atlanta's going to do it. Again, do I think I would I be surprised if a fucking Tom Brady's holding up the trophy and is considered the greatest pro sport athlete of all time? Unbelievably. Well,
this would be their first one without cheating, and that's impressive.
That we know of. That's like somebody who's cheated on their wife 1,000 times being like, hey, you didn't catch me cheating this year, so we're good, right?
I think that they all cheat. I don't think there's any team that doesn't cheat.
Well, Atlanta got busted for it.
I just think...
But that was crowd noise. I feel like with the Patriots, have you seen the Sports Illustrated article where they list like all the teams they were
accused of? Oh, it's incredible. The funny thing about the crowd noise is I was joking that, because to people that don't know, 2 years ago, Atlanta got busted for pumping up crowd noise.
So does Seattle, don't they?
I don't know if they do, but we actually got busted for it. It cost us like a 5th-round pick. But the funny thing is I was like, why? We were doing that for our team because there's like 8,000 people in the stadium, so they like made it sound like they're just cheering for us. We weren't even trying to do it for the other team. We're just like, yeah, there's a lot of people here.
Atlanta's such an interesting sports town.
They're out of the woodwork
now.
They're
just so interesting.
They've been out of the woodwork this probably second half of the season.
But look at the Hawks. The Hawks never sell out, and they've been good for so long. They're like top four every year in the East.
I mean, Braves had a 20-year run, and they still...
Then nobody goes to the games.
That's arguably the only sport team they really, really are behind. But I will say, Falcon fans have been really great this year.
I think... Well, dude, here's the point about the NFL. It's just like, the tickets are so expensive. Excuse me. They're so expensive that you're not going to go to a game unless they got a chance to win. If your team sucks, why would you drop $150 on a ticket?
Why would you go to a Week 17 when you know they're going to bench all the superstars that you and your kids wear their jerseys on?
Why would I go?
The Rams game, the last game of the year, the Rams, they play the Cardinals.
You played. They let you play.
They should have. Literally, we got seats that were 3 rows back from like the field. We were like talking to the cheerleaders. And they were like $48. It was like,
wow.
Yeah, cause no one was there.
Yeah, but how much was parking? That's the problem. That's the reason. Nobody talked about that. In L.A., and we all live here, we don't pay money for almost everything. We expect to pay out of our ass. The one thing we will not pay for is parking. It's just this weird thing where it's like, how much? Valet? $20? Fuck you. I'll park 3 blocks away and walk up.
Now I'm going to for a meter.
Yeah. Yeah. When you go to a Rams game and it's $100 to park there, fuck you. I'm not coming to the game.
They're like, it was $100 now, mind you, to park right across from the field. But still, $100, I'm parking in the 50. You're going to play around my car.
Yep.
It's going to be right on top of that Rams helmet at
my
the 50-yard line.
To the game.
You park your car and turn the game on.
Yeah. It's like I'm like sitting there listening with the windows down.
The Bo Jackson commercial where he's driving his car through the actual field.
Yeah.
Like Blake Griffin's jumping over the car to dunk like in that stupid fucking commercial they did in the All-Star game, which is dumb as fuck.
So you love the NFL, obviously. What's your other favorite sport?
Basketball, man. I love basketball.
We haven't done a lot of basketball talk in here, but starting to heat up, and I'm
Russell
excited. I think
Westbrook is the most exciting player in the NBA. I hope he goes for 40 in the All-Star game because they didn't start him. And then he'll be the first player. He was the first player to get back-to-back MVPs.
By the way, that voting for letting the players vote completely backfired on them. Dude, you had people voting for themselves that hadn't even played a minute on the court.
I would.
No, it's amazing when these people get paid so much money to make these important decisions. Don't have just simple fucking ideas, which are, hey, man, you can't vote for yourself.
The main problem is
that should just be the rule. I mean, like, we're dealing with the most egotistical. I mean, like, if you're a pro athlete, in particular the NBA, because there's only 420 of them, and more than any other sport, everybody plays basketball on every continent and everywhere. It's the easiest game to play besides soccer. It's so fucking easy.
High lie.
And you're like, high lie is fucking really hard to play.
You think Mike Dunleavy voted for himself?
No, the kid that on the Clippers, I forget our rookie, what his name is, came from fucking North Carolina last year, was crying after they lost. That guy voted for himself.
The problem is this. No one can get any All-Star game right. The fact that the All-Star game matters in baseball and affects where you play. I know, but that was stupid. Every new thing that they try to do. Now they have dodgeball at the Pro Bowl. Dodgeball. I want to watch these guys play dodgeball with Nerf footballs. No NBC.
They should get rid of that game. Nobody goes to it. They only do it. Or you know what they should do? It should be a rookie one. It should be a You should, like, certain All-Star games, after that, you shouldn't be.
In football, I just – if I'm an owner or a fan, I just watch the Pro Bowl and I'm like, don't get hurt. Don't twist your knee. Don't twist your knee. Don't twist your knee.
Oh, yeah.
It's all you
and
think
you
about.
See Odell Beckham playing safety.
Yeah.
I think Kelsey got hurt at the Pro Bowl. And that's what happened. Yep. Yeah, he missed like half the season.
It's like, God, for a meaningless game that means nothing.
It's
at least NBA.
Family.
The NBA All-Star game is at least fun to watch. No defense, unless it's crazy defense. It's fun to watch a thousand
you know
dunks
what they
in a
do?
Game.
They should do the NFL Awards in Honolulu and make that the event and not have a game because it's just like it's – you know, I really do believe the less that these guys are doing contact drills in football, the less their body's used to taking the contact. I mean, like maybe I'm wrong and I didn't play it that much, but it's like – I remember when Michael Vick a couple years ago was like, he got hit really hard and everyone's like, are you okay? It's like, dude, I get those hits all the time. I'm used to it. But if like now they got these like – robotic dummies that people are tackling and like so they don't have to I just think it's going to make it so people get more and more hurt because they're not used to the hits and you know better than I am but I feel like you're trying to make a game that's full contact no contact and I want to get into the second part and then I'll get you guys I think the problem with the NFL is the writers are the reporters that cover it because you don't see this discussion in the MMA where people are like, oh, they're going to have concussions and they're not going to be thing. You don't hear that talk as much. It's baseball is ruined by the writers who couldn't stop talking about steroids. They dictated the conversation. And you're seeing it now with the NFL. These fucking writers can't stop ripping the league. And maybe Goodell's a cocksucker and needs to go, but they just keep ripping it to the point where people are going to stop wanting to watch it because it's just such a negative connotation. It's what they're doing with Trump now. Don't want, you know, not to get too super critical, but no matter what that guy does, the media is ripping him so hard that he could be like, everybody gets free pussy! And they'd be like, fuck you, you fucking piece of shit. You know, it doesn't matter what he does now. They're just kneecapping him. And that's what the NFL writers are doing with the NFL. They're constantly writing negative spins on it. And I know it's not the best league in the world, and it's a hard league to run. But it's like they're kneecapping the fuck out of this league.
Especially in these next 2 weeks. They need stories. There's nothing going on in the NFL these 2 weeks, so now all you hear is Deshaun Watson doesn't want to go to Cleveland, which may or may not be true. But I tell you this, he pulled out of that Senior Bowl long before Cleveland staff was named on there. But you look at their, you know, like you're saying, you can crunch those numbers. If I'm a sports writer, I'm like,
come with a story.
I bet I can spin it this way, and then everyone's going to be talking about my story on all sports talk radio across the world.
The NBA and the MMA are the two best sports leagues, and I think hockey, if anyone gave a shit about it, those ones, the reporters care about the sport. They clean, like when someone gets busted with steroids in the UFC, it's not nearly the story it was in baseball back in the day. They've completely destroyed that sport. Nobody gives a fuck about it like they used to. And yeah, I don't know where that
attendance is up in baseball. Sorry.
Okay.
I think MMA. We haven't seen the stats yet. Yeah. You know, you're talking about a 20 year old sport or something like that. You start seeing all these guys. We start seeing what Chuck Liddell looks like in 15 years. There might be some more concussion articles written.
Yeah, but Chuck Liddell is 50. How many? There's a ton of 65-year-olds out there who are just steel workers whose brains are shish kebabbed. I mean, like, we're not supposed to live this long. We're supposed to be eaten by animals.
Yeah, but I don't pay money
to
watch
them. We're supposed to be dead by now.
I don't pay money to watch them steel work. It's not an industry. It's not a fan-based industry to watch these people put themselves in harm's way.
Well, yeah. I mean, I wonder what the number of fucking comedians who blow their brains out because comedy is a cruel bitch. Do we fucking constantly shit on comedy? I mean, it's like, it's just these writers are like, they determine the fucking view of the sport. And if they're doing nothing but ripping it to shreds, numbers are going to go down.
Sure.
Hey, stat fuck over there. What are the numbers on? Yeah, you. And what's the numbers on? Like, did the NFL recover? Everyone thought the numbers were down because of Trump. Did at the end of the season, were the numbers back?
Green Bay, Dallas was high. Pittsburgh and New England was like 2% lower than Denver, New England last year. But, you know, you got Brady versus Manning, end of man, you know, all of that sort of shit. So they compared this to that game where you're like, nah, you kind of can't really. But to me, I think at least playoff wise, it's all about even. One's a little high, one's a little low. But
Super Bowl is still going to be one of the most watched things of all time.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, but I did meet a guy for the first time. He said he used to watch football every year, and he stopped. But he also was a vegan, so I don't know if that like, correlates.
NBA, what's your team?
I like the Thunder, man. I like Westbrook. That's one of my favorite guys.
Now, have you always liked the Thunder, or is this because you just because you're about a player, which I respect, too?
I was a Nuggets fan for the longest, but it's just like, how long can you be a Nuggets fan before you're just
you're
like...
You're talking to Clipper fans.
This is the worst thing. Clippers are good now. The Nuggets are never be good.
They got a good team. The problem with the Nuggets is they don't have a star. They have a bunch of great players. All their players are fucking great offensively. They don't have a star.
Yeah, Will Barton's not a star to you?
No. I mean, Moutier's good. I just don't think he's a star.
I don't know. I think Will Barton's the best player on the Nuggets right now. But I just love – I wanted OKC to win last year against Golden State. And now that Russell's doing it by himself and he's just putting up numbers, I just wanted to be Jordan.
It is a fun backstory.
Do you think if the – if the Thunder could go back, that they would make the trade for Blake Griffin for KD? Because they got nothing now. Do you think they would have made that trade?
Yeah, of course they would.
They should have. That would have helped both teams, dude. Both teams would be much better right now.
I'm so mad that he went to Golden State. It was like, geez Louise, guy.
That's how a lot of people felt about when LeBron went to Miami.
No, it's totally different.
It's like Denzel joining the Avengers movies just to get more ratings on movies. It's like that movie franchise is great. You're a great actor. Like you can do all.
And you lost to him. And I've said it before, there's a real question. He's up 3-1. Let's say he's decided in his head that he doesn't want to be there anymore. And we saw LeBron James do this against Boston. After fucking Delonte West banged his mom, and he was like, I'm fucking out of here. He fucking threw that series. He didn't try anymore against – and we saw it, and everyone's going, this guy is checked out. Nobody said that about fucking KD, but he's up 3-1 on those Warriors, and he has to take one game from them.
I never even thought about him point shaving on that. That's crazy.
Right.
You know? I mean, He has a fucking game at home. He can't – 3-1, you can't win one. I'm not saying it's 100% true, but it's possible.
And they were, like, winning the game seven, the first half. They were, like, blowing the team out, and they lost it in the third and fourth quarter.
Golden State's up there in my teams I do not like.
If they were my rivals, I would love their game. Everyone thinks they're bad for the sport. Their style of play is so much more exciting.
But they don't have a center. You just said it about Shaq Diesel.
Yeah, but dude, look at the league right now. Look at the league.
Tristan Thompson.
If you do the top eight centers in the league, there's only two of them that are in the playoff hunt, and that is DJ and fucking Marc Gasol. Now, DJ can't do jack shit. Once Chris Paul's out, can't do shit.
He might be my favorite Clipper.
But Gasol can hit threes. He just started shooting threes this year. It's amazing. I love it. It's my favorite thing to see is him shooting threes.
But go through all the centers. Anthony Davis.
Hassan Whiteside.
Whiteside. Garbage.
Andre Drummond.
Not in the playoffs.
Dwight Howard, Falcon fan.
Dwight Howard is a lot better. He's big.
He's one of them.
Al Horford.
Al Horford's more of a power forward playing center. He's not a real center. I'm talking about these 7-foot dudes like DeMarcus Cousins, not in the playoffs.
He's a beast.
Who else is there? Fucking your boy. The guy from fucking the 76ers, Embiid. Not in the play. Beast! I mean.
They might go. They're like killing this year. They might come turn around, man.
Eventually in the NBA, you get enough. You're bad for 4 or 5 years. You could be good.
Dude, when they get that Ben Simmons back, that team is going to be lights out.
Have you watched that documentary about him?
Yeah, I disagree with it.
You didn't like it?
What was the documentary?
I thought it was great, but I disagree with it.
What's that? It's on Showtime. It's called, is it One and Done or what's it called? Something like that. But he's, because he came up to Australia, him and his family are like, why should he have to go play college and not get paid? He should be able to go.
See, they want you to get women. They want you to get that partying out just so you don't go too well when you get the money in the NBA.
Well, here's my problem with this. I've said it before. Baseball, football, there's a process to getting into the league. The NBA, the lottery, you're drafting for a team that's going to help your team. Like these guys, it's like, it's okay. Whenever we talk about NBA, we talk owners versus players. We never talk about the fans who pay for fucking everything. And look at this league. This kid from Kentucky that's now on either Phoenix or Sacramento. They projected him to be number one or number two pick in the draft. It was going to be Ben Simmons, him they were going to fight over. He was awful at Kentucky. He was awful. He ends up dropping all the way to 19. somebody up top would have drafted that guy, they would have gotten a stiff. And you're like, well, that's how it goes. No, dude. If he would have played 2 years in the your chance of having a bust is way, way more lower if you got 2 years of film on how this guy plays. And it's just like we could work something out where he makes money so his family can get money so they can pay their bills. But then you gotta know, like, dude, it's not fair to the fans to draft a fucking guy on potential for fucking 4 years at $3 million a pop, and we go, oh man, that's just how it goes. No, man, I'm paying $100 a ticket to go watch this team. This is I live and die when fucking the Clippers got fucked by that tranny, and she fucking recorded fucking the owner. I cried because I knew my team was done. I live and die by that. I ride or die by
I've cried
the
a lot. I've cried a lot over sports.
They're still good. They blow it in the playoffs. It wasn't like that owner situation.
That team was supposed to go to the finals, and there was no way the NBA was going to let that story go all the way to the finals. They didn't get
against the referees did it. Yeah, and if that's the case, I bet you the Patriots win the championship if the referees are going to be involved. It's good. You want to have the greatest player of all time.
The NFL does not want the Falcons to win the Super Bowl, if that's what you're saying.
I disagree.
Definitely.
Why?
I disagree.
No, it's a better story. Tom Brady winning 7 rings and going down as the greatest quarterback of all time.
I get that. I get that. I totally get Yeah. I mean,
they sold 80 Falcon jerseys this season. You know what I mean? There's a zillion Tom Brady jerseys.
Yeah,
they just make more money off of them.
Alex Mack. How can you market Alex Mack?
Exactly right. You're exactly right.
I've ever seen where I felt a league forced an outcome was Lakers versus Boston, KD versus Kobe. And without a doubt, the NBA wanted Kobe to win that game so that there could be the talk he's chasing Jordan. He got his 5th ring, and they were chasing Jordan, even though he had the worst series ever. That last game that Kobe played, Game 7, was garbage. He couldn't hit anything. And in the second half, they're down 13 or 14. Celtics are up. They go to the line 25 times. The Celtics go 5. And it's just like, that is such a fucking manipulation of the outcome of that thing. And it was also that Kobe, and then they didn't know they would just disintegrate after that. But yeah.
You could argue a case that the NFL does won Atlanta to win the Super Bowl.
I think they're
strictly because of
it's a new brand.
No, I don't think so. But I think just Deflategate, they punish them. They go through the Patriots and them go through the legal system all goddamn year. And Goodell's at the game and they're chanting Roger in Boston. I think the NFL could easily also be like, you know what, man, I hope these guys don't win because they're going to throw it in our face all the time.
Roger's they're the ones that are working with the referees, man. He's taking them out to dinner and giving them the pigs.
Yeah.
Right? Where's your brother go? Free agent, right?
I'm recruiting for him, man. I'm taking bribes from any team.
Take
I'm going
him to
cities.
The Falcons. Falcons?
No, dude.
Yes. I was just talking with Delaney Walker. I said, man, show me Nashville, and I'll see if we can win Clears over there.
Oh, so he would fit in great there.
Yeah,
what they need.
He wants to go to a good team.
He doesn't want to be in Arizona anymore?
He wants to be in Arizona. Arizona's, you know, they're gonna wait to see what he gets offered by else people, and at that point, it's kind of like,
well, how about L.A.? Would he come to L.A.?
I mean,
Chargers.
Well, the
maybe?
Thing about LA also is the fact of like he could be getting another $1 million extra per year
by taxes,
but by state taxes and all that good stuff, it would be really, you know, by cost of living, it would be basically a wash. But he said he really wants to go to like a good team. If I had to bet, where he says I want him to stay in Arizona because it's close, but I wouldn't be surprised if he went somewhere like Redskins, Denver, if we're
Jacksonville.
Nah, he's not gonna go to Jacksonville.
Miami? Oh, yeah. No, they got Sue. That's too much money.
Sue's my guy. I hope he does go to Miami. That would be the best thing ever. I go to Miami like 3 times a year. I'm hoping. Hopefully somebody.
Can I go with you?
Yeah, fuck
Everyone's
yeah.
like, who's their accountant?
I still don't have to. I get in clubs very, very easy there, man. It's just the easiest thing. As a comedian, it's hard to get into clubs.
Miami's known as the Miami's universally known as a shitty comedy town.
Everybody's partying. Who wants to
yeah,
go to
everybody's
a comedy
gorgeous.
Club?
Everybody's partying. What?
That's a picture of the guy that Andrew Siliano, the guy I work for, the host of the show, and your brother. And we showed that on our show, and I go, you look like the dummy in his lap.
That's hilarious. I see
that
tweet
is so
that.
Funny. Dude. Oh, by the way, he
How
went
tall
on another
is
podcast.
Andrew?
Why doesn't he come on our podcast?
Because he works right now.
Okay. NBA, let's get some choices.
How tall is Andrew?
Carmelo Anthony, would you like to see him traded?
PT.
What?
I think Carmelo's on his last leg. He's not game changer anymore. He's a third best option at
That's what time. The Clippers need, dude. I have this whole way of the Clippers can get Paul George, Carmelo Anthony, and Klay Thompson, and we can make it happen.
It's too much star power. All those guys. Carmelo plays zero defense. He's actually cancer to a team when you think about the fact
we need an easy bucket guy. That's the problem with the Clippers. We don't have anybody when the fucking screws start getting tight. They can just throw it up and get a point.
They won't start Crawford. I never understood the reason why they don't start Jamal
Dude,
Crawford.
Don't get me started on J.J. Reck. These two want to have sex with him literally at the same time.
Shit.
I fucking – dude, J.J. Reck, Doc Rivers being our GM – is a fucking fatal flaw, and his love of JJ and this thought that JJ is a starting guard in the NBA has literally hurt this team. And he occasionally has that 25-point game where everyone's like, huh? I get it all the time for these guys. Huh, look! Yo, you want to train him? Huh? And it's just like, yeah. And then he follows it up with a shit game, and then at the end, he's just been getting grinded on by these 6'8 motherfuckers, grinding him, and he's just broken down, and he's just dead. His legs are dead, and he's dead in the playoffs, but nobody ever wants to talk about that. Trade him.
You do.
I want them to trade him for Rudy Gay, but Rudy Gay blew out his knee, dude. So, I mean, like, I would love to fucking... I mean, I would love to trade for Carmelo, trade for Paul George. I'd do a Blake Griffin for Paul George straight up, homeboy.
I mean, why do you want to get rid of Blake Griffin?
I love Blake Griffin.
He just loves trades. That's
no,
not
dude,
true.
I love Blake Griffin. He's the second. I don't want to trade him. I don't want to fucking trade him. But all they're talking about trade. Like, literally in chat boards talk about, can't trade JJ, trade Blake. It's like, no. Here's who you trade. You trade JJ. You trade fucking and DeAndre. Trade DeAndre. I love DeAndre, but he's not a guy that can
left you guys.
For what?
Why'd he almost leave you guys, man? I thought that.
Here's what we do. Let's trade all the Clippers.
No.
Every one of them.
I
you
think
just fold hands,
Chris
huh?
Paul?
He's just like, I don't like these hit cards. And
Chris
folding.
Paul? Keep Chris Paul? Keep Blake.
I'd rather get rid of Paul than DJ.
And, dude, I'm sorry, but Austin Rivers is balling, dude. That kid can ball. He can ball.
I have
ball.
No problem with him. I never had a problem with
Everybody
him.
Everybody hates him because he's the dad's. The
he's,
fucking coach
he's,
is so,
he's Seth Curry, not
no,
Steph Curry.
No,
Seth
dude.
Curry.
He's a poor man's Russell Westbrook. Watch that kid, dude. He can play. He plays mean, too. I fucking love it. I'd rather him start than J.J. Redick. He's a fucking baller, dude. He came in as daddy's kid, but that kid has worked hard. He is a baller. He's shooting almost 50% from three-point line, and he can get to the rim. He's a poor man's Russell Westbrook.
Who's your finals? Is definitely Cavaliers Golden State again?
It depends,
that's
man.
It's tough to not. It's
it all depends
to not
on
be.
Seedings, dude. Because we can beat San Antonio. We beat them twice this year, once this year, blew them out. And San Antonio can beat fucking Golden State.
Not anymore, man. They've lost an edge. They're not as good as they were this year.
Well, they got this new kid out of France, another kid out of France, a point guard. Tony Parker's got to go, man. This is an age of fucking wings. And he's not fast enough to keep up with these fucking guys. This new kid they got has been putting up some good numbers because Tony Parker's been hurt. But, I mean, dude, look at Kawhi. That guy's gone, like, from defensive stopper to, like, he's had, like, five games in a row of 30 points. He's a legit killer. But.
Aldridge isn't good. They think they can. I think they get better with Aldridge.
They want to move him, dude.
Golden State's definitely in the West. I just don't see how they could lose.
Well, my opinion is that LeBron James needs to get one more ring now because the East is about to get nasty, and the Greek freak ain't afraid of fucking LeBron James. He's the one guy who's like, I'll match you physically. I mean, the Greek freak versus young LeBron James would still be a wash because that kid is long, lanky, and nasty. Okay. He'll dunk from half court with two steps.
Can you say his name, though, his actual name?
Good-good-good-good-good-poopo.
Oh. Yeah, that was perfect. That was actually it. That's how you actually went through the actual, like.
I don't know his name, but I met him, dude. You look at him, you're like, well, you're the Greek freak. You don't look like you're that. Because he's got this baby face. He's very lean. Like, if you meet Blake Griffin, you think he's going to be like this fucking James Harrison, like thick and big. They're not. They're lean and they're fucking cyborgs, dude. They're just all muscle, like all fucking cyborg shit.
Well, that's basketball players in general. They're all smaller because TV makes you look a little muscular. But in basketball, you don't have pads on, so you actually look big. But all those guys are skinny as can be. Almost look like they're going to hurt themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think why they're playing basketball, not football.
I think if Milwaukee got the right point guard, that they could fucking do some serious. Like, if you put Chris Paul on Milwaukee, that team could take on the Cavs without even thinking twice about it. I mean, dude, they're hurting without J.R. Smith. It's unbelievable that with all the talent on the Cavs, they're hurting without Smith because they got no outside shooting right now.
Because Covers, that was the worst trade ever. GM LeBron did a bad trade right there.
Well, you know, I mean, like, look at the Love trade look bad, and then it fucking worked out. He just has to work in. He has to work his way in. He has to work, and they're doing stopgap, but they're like, we're going to go get a really great play. I wouldn't doubt if they tried to make a play for Carmelo. I don't know how they're going to put pieces together. I mean, they almost might have to send back the same people they got from fucking. But I think that if I'm the Knicks, I'm looking to shed salary. So I have a gazillion dollars in cap space for next year, and I can sign a bunch of fucking people. I don't even know.
I'm taking the Cavs in the NBA. I'm going with the Falcons, all right? Hope the Falcons
win. Oh, you've switched, have you?
No, I told you, logic. I'm going against logic. I want the Falcons to win. I want Julio Jones to catch 197 yards and 3 touchdowns and win MVP. Not Matt Ryan. I want Julio Jones.
Ryan is season MVP, though.
Yeah, definitely, because he has Julio
Derek
Jones.
Derek Carr is the MVP.
No, he has the greatest receiver. You got to think about quarterbacks that have nothing. That's why Tom Brady's making guys that are average look like amazing people. Wes Welker did when he left.
I agree.
Edelman, if he left, Edelman would be out of the league in 2 years. Chris Hogan, who was he until now?
Who's Aldrick Robinson? Who's Taylor Gabriel? Who's Tyler Gabriel? All those guys, you're like, dude, most of these guys weren't even in the NFL. Now they're catching 5-6 touchdowns.
They have Julio Jones. And they had Roddy White, he was just as good as Julio Jones.
Roddy White has to be
like 5 years ago.
I would say, all right, so the top three receivers.
He's just old.
So the NFL, the best receiver has to be Julio Jones. Yep. Give it to him. Second is Antonio Brown.
Yep.
And then I would go third, Odell Beckham.
Yep, but I agree with that.
Those quarterbacks will have
don't
those guys.
Don't sleep on Landry, though. That guy has the same amount of catches as ODB in 4 seasons. Exact number.
Well, Odell
that's crazy.
Yeah, Odell Beckham plays in a major market.
And he takes him to the house, too, a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he'll take a skinny and he's out.
I'm taking the Falcons. I'll give you a final score, all right? And if I'm right, I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm going to go with – it's going to go under. I'm going to say 28-0. 24.
Okay. And they'd cover the spread.
Well, Falcons.
Well, I'll go Falcons. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Put the money line on Falcons.
I like that. What was now, a lot of people don't know this about you. You did also had a stint with the Cardinals.
Yeah, that was the shit.
How you think?
I got cut last cuts. I actually thought I should have made the team, honestly. I sucked at special teams, though. That's what you have to make it. But like,
so you were like going backup DB, special teams demon is going to be your way in and your thinking.
Well, I was undrafted.
Yes.
Because I told you it was a last second thing where I was like, all right, I'm going to go. I can't get the year back. And then it was the lockout year, which sucks because I was always a smarter player. My thing was like, once I know what I'm doing really good, then I can play free. I can guess routes. I can jump. And so the lockout came. They called me the first day of the lockout. I lift up. I had like 3 teams hit me up like, hey, what do you want? The agent. And I was like, I'm going with the Cardinals. My brother's there. You know, I've been working out.
What other teams?
The Raiders were talking to me and then the Dolphins.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Wow, Dolphins. That would have been cool, too.
Yeah, but it was one of those things where I knew I'd need to be in Arizona.
And go play with your brother? I mean, that's...
But it wasn't... I knew Adrian Wilson. I knew all the guys that were on the team. And so I went there and got the playbook, and it's the opposite of college playbooks.
How so?
Because in the NFL, it's a little bit more like college. NFL, they're going to line up every time. They line up in a different formation in motion and shift. And every time they motion and shift, it's a new play that has to be called. So not only do you know the base thing, what you do, but after the new motion, you got to know exactly what your role is and all that good stuff. And so, I actually led the team in tackles against Green Bay the second game because I just came in garbage time in fourth quarter.
That's cool, though.
And then I had a sack against the Broncos, Tim Tebow.
You sacked Tim Tebow?
Yeah.
Where's that picture? You. Do you have a picture of that?
I don't know.
You should Google that. You should find that. And that should be
that
your promotional card when you hand people stand-up comics of you just sacking fucking Tebow. Fuck, dude.
Fuck Tebow.
You should put that on a t-shirt.
I'm going to go find it. I'm about to go find that picture. The worst thing is I didn't know how to celebrate. I guess after you get a sack, you're supposed to celebrate.
What'd you do?
I didn't know.
You started river dancing?
Yeah, it's the fourth quarter of the Broncos against the last game. And I got it, and I'm trying to celebrate with my teammates. Like, yeah, yeah. Everybody's like, so I went to go jump up and chest bump one of the D linemen. And I jumped in the air, but he didn't jump. And so I'm like, oh, shit, I'm not going to go back down to the ground in front of live television. This is the worst thing. So I grabbed him. I wrapped my hands around him, and I wrapped my legs around him. He held me like a baby.
And what did he say? What are you doing?
He was just like, no. And then I went to the sauna. He was like, yeah, that's the worst dance I've ever seen. Clay, it's like, you embarrassed me. And I didn't know what to do.
Who was it?
It was Ronald Tally, the dude that grabbed me over like a baby.
Okay. Did they, when they cut you, were they like, listen, you were on the bubble, but that dance was so bad that we can't keep you?
Exactly.
How's BA as a coach?
I wasn't there with BA. I was with Wisenhut.
Oh, you were there Ken Wisenhut days?
Yeah, and that's why they said practice was so easy. And what sucked even more is that it was like
practice
a new
practice was
defense.
So easy?
It was a, yeah, it was easy. NFL, like, college is real work. Like, you got to fucking work. NFL is a fucking flag football game, all practice, and then you play in the game.
Right.
But it's high pressure. Like, you make a mistake, and it's like you're cut that bad.
Because it's just so many people trying to make the league that they can. It's like comedy and pornography. There's just too many people doing it.
Yeah, but actually we did really good. Like, I had good stats. But it was just the thing of what it hurt me is Adrian Wilson got hurt the first game. And so he was out, but they're not going to cut Adrian Wilson. He's like the star of the team.
Yep.
So they kept him, and then they bring in a veteran. And so I beat out the other two guys they had bring in, and then the veteran guy, it took
your spot.
And then they cut him as soon as Adrian Wilson got back healthy, so I probably got cut either way.
Right.
But our coach told me, he's like, keep working out. You're getting better every day. We really like you. He was like, stay in shape. We'll call you if we need you. And then it wasn't because the other safety gets hurt. They picked up some guy from New England. I was like, fuck these guys, man.
Dude, I went to UNLV, and when I was there, was a guy named Henry Bailey who could fucking ball. And he didn't get drafted, but he got a chance to play for Buffalo in the preseason. And we're like, oh, man, I hope Henry makes it. He runs a kickoff back. And we're like, that's it, dog. He made the team. Still got cut. Ran a kickoff back.
And that's tough. Like, they want those special teams players. That's what, if you're good at special teams, that's how you make the team. And I was good at safety, but special teams wasn't really the best.
At what point in time, was there any kind of point in time where, do you have like a defining moment where you're like, I think I'm done with football?
Yeah, man. I worked out every day for like a year, just hard. Waking up in the morning, working out. And I would just get bored through the rest of the day, so I started getting back into stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
And at the point of the whole season goes by and the next offseason comes and no one's talking to you or calling you to come in, and you're just like, enough of this heartbreak. And so I just moved to L.A. I literally moved to L.A. like after that, and I just kept doing comedy. Still worked out in case anyone called me. They get Canadian teams, and I didn't want to go to Canada or arena just because I felt like I played the top high school ball.
They say that's comedy. Really hard when you play the big collegiate programs, like in the NBA, they say that like the guys who come from the big program, it's really hard for them to do the D League because they're going on buses, they're going like to these small arenas, yeah. And they're like, I can't fucking do this. But dude, you miss out on Canadian football, dude. Canadian chicks are the best. You would have had so much fun up there. You're one of like 12 black people in all of Canada. You're a unicorn.
I feel like comedy is better. It's better to be a comedian than a Canadian football player in Canada.
I'm with you, dude. You're very funny.
Probably a comedian.
Real quick,
days.
Let's get, because I know we've set a record for least amount of talking by the nanny here. UFC, are you in the UFC at all? Do you like Ultimate Fighting?
I was at the one in Phoenix where BJ Penn got his ass whipped.
Oh, you were?
Oh, we were just talking about that last week. Yeah.
Oh, that dude's the future. Do you see how many? His kick is the fastest thing you've ever seen in your life, man.
Dude, George St. Pierre was, I remember watching him, and I'm like, dude, this guy kicks as fast as people punch. Like, his kicks get to your face as quickly as you throw your fist. And that's how you know you're good. And that kid's really good. Like, he's the future, for Mexican fighters.
He's going to, I think, I don't know who can beat him. I don't know if somebody.
There's some dudes, dude. You start getting really high up there in the top 10. Now it's getting super competitive. Because that's, I think they fought at 155, right?
Yeah.
There's some monsters.
Wasn't it 145?
I don't know, man. There's some monsters up there, dude. There are guys who are just this Nomonakov guy. Fucking, dude, that guy out of Russia is just he's like 24-0, dude. Never lost a fight.
What about Conor, right?
Conor McGregor is he's probably not up there with one of my favorite fighters of all time. Because he's just, it's not only that he talks the game, but he just, like, he's not afraid to lose. And that, to me, is so much more important. Like, it's not about having a perfect record. It's about going in there and getting a war and then fucking seeing what happens, dude. And he lost. And, dude, we've had people call in here and tell me I'm a retarded man. But it's not about your record. It's about your wars, dude. And that guy ain't afraid to fight anybody.
Yeah.
You like Connor too, is she?
No, I he like drives him. Me nuts. They love him. I think he's so annoying.
I can root against him during a fight and still like him. Like I find
See,
him
I just
polarizing.
Root against him and don't like him.
But I enjoy that. Like I like having a bad guy to root against. I used to like to watch Roddy Piper wrestle. Yeah. I would always be rooting against him, like somebody beat this guy.
Well,
you know?
I rooted against him because we're big fans of the Diaz brothers on this show. They're our favorite friends. She wants to have sex with them, so it's like they're important for this. You know, we care about them. So when we did that fight, when they had that fight, we really rooted for them. And so, but I love his style.
But I wanted Aldo to beat him.
I didn't. I like
you wanted Eddie Alvarez. We watched that fight together.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I've generally, for the most part, have rooted against him.
Yeah. That's why I get confused.
All of his fights. But I like watching him. I think he's funny in interviews. He's great at a press conference. That one where he's like, there was that big for like, I think it was 205. Was that the New York one? Whatever. But it's a huge press conference. There's rows and rows of people. And I think it was, might even been a Diaz brother that said something.
Wasn't it Jeremy Stevens?
Oh, Jeremy Stevens. And he goes, who the fuck are you? Yeah. Who the fuck said that? He looks around and you're like, this guy's great, man.
Now, I want to get in something. Tyrone Woodley
has
talked about how he believes that there's racism in the UFC and that he has been disrespected more than any other fighter in the league, any other champion ever. Any thoughts on that?
What does he mean by that?
He thinks because he has to fight Wonderboy again, they're only doing it because they want Wonderboy to be the champion and not him.
Who's he saying he'd rather fight?
There's a whole bunch of people he'd rather fight. He said he doesn't want, because their fight was so close, they're making him fight again, and he's taking that as a sign of racism.
Which is not true. It's because the fight was so close.
Well, think about it. And just in period in fighting, since the history of it, race brings dollars. I don't know why people start rooting against people. That's why Conor's famous. Whoever's the guy can make the most people hate him, people want to pay money to watch him lose. And so, I mean, I'm not saying it's 100% race, but that does drive a lot of fighting people. It brings sides out and it makes money.
Do you and this is going to be an interesting conversation, but do you find that there's a lot of racism in pro sports?
I think green outweighs any form of racism.
That's my old thing. It's like if you look at the biggest athletes promoted right now, they're all black athletes, with the exception of Connor. LeBron James, Kevin Durant. I mean, football's the only exception because of the quarterbacks. But for the most part, I mean, like, look at Cam Newton. He's like, I understand.
J.J. Watt's pretty heavily touted.
Yeah, but my point is, like, I just find it just weird, like, in sports. It's like sports is all about either you're good at it or you're not. And we've seen black champions before that they promote. And the truth
like
is,
John Jones.
If you get buys, they'll promote you.
They
if
love
you
John
don't
Jones.
Get buys, they don't. Like Jose Aldo did like some of the worst pay-per-views. I mean, like the worst pay-per-views, man. Like 200,000 pay-per-views.
Just
and
falling.
You're like, Jesus Christ. So it's like, I don't know if it's. I think it's a great way to get people interested in you, either positive or negative. I'm like, look at Mayweather. Most of the time, people watch those fights to see him lose.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a race thing. Or it's like if you had a chance to make more money by involving race without saying this is out of a race, but it's kind of that thing, you would do it 100% of the time. That's why, like, Floyd Mayweather makes a living. If you ever watch his fights, he fights around Cinco de Mayo or any Mexican holiday, and he usually fights a Hispanic fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes him a shit ton of money every time.
Yeah.
And that's what drives boxing. Now, UFC is a little different. And UFC is the one of the sports that you can't go undefeated. Like, Floyd's undefeated. But in UFC, it's just so raw that it's like you can get caught just one time having your guard
with 4 ounce
gloves. And there's only one promoter. So you have to fight who they say fight or you're out. Where boxing, you can duck somebody for your entire career. There's not really any ducking anybody in the UFC.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they will duck if they really think you're a cash cow and
they'll protect the brand.
Well, I mean,
but
like,
you personally cannot.
We saw them protect Ronda Rousey from Cyborg,
sure.
And we know why they did that.
Now we do.
Because it was going to get them. There's going to be some murder going down.
Yep.
She's pretty, though. That was a good sell for the sport.
Yeah, I mean,
she
like.
She's the most marketable female MMA artist.
Well, she was right place, right time. That's really what it was. Right place, right time. It was the first time ever in this very progressive media we live in where you could actually put a female athlete in the same fucking fighting area or same performance at field, court, octagon as the men. And we never had that before.
Yeah.
And it was so big that they were like, oh, this is the person. This is the one. And she was so dominant. She just came at an early time when female MMA wasn't that big of a deal. Was like just getting started. Should we take calls? We're at 12:54. We really went past it.
We
just got our first call. So
yeah, we'll take our first one.
Let's take a call. Hey, you're on with Punch Drunk. What's up?
Garnet, what's up?
Oh, man. What's up, guys?
What's up?
It's been a while. You know?
What do you mean? It's been like two days.
Oh, shoot. Yeah. I tried calling yesterday and the last couple of weeks and all that. But
it's weird you called yesterday because the show's only Tuesdays.
Let me ask you something. You sound depressed. What's going on?
No, I'm actually recently undepressed.
Oh.
Because I just started taking some medication for that, actually.
Oh, nice.
It's like anxiety medication.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, white people love those scripts.
Yeah, I don't know why. I just started having panic attacks like last month.
Because
I
they're Pez.
A lot of weed.
They're Pez dispensers. By the way, I was at the, real quick, I was at the AVNs last week, and one of the questions I asked people was, if you can unfuck one person, who would it be? It was so fun to hear their responses. Go on. So what do you want to talk?
Well, that was pretty good. I've only fucked two people, so.
You fucked in your whole life?
Yeah, I know. I'm
no wonder you're on antidepressants.
Yeah, give this guy some pussy.
Shut up. See, here's
you
want to
come to Miami with me?
I do.
Here's a problem with white guys in particular. It's like they watch too many romantic comedies, and they overthink this shit, and they put women on these giant pedestals, and they're like, oh, you got to fucking go slay a dragon for their honor, when in reality, they, dude, go out and bang everything.
And don't take no for an answer.
I wish I would have.
Yeah, what do you mean? Would you? You think it's over?
Well, I've been with this girl for like 15 years.
Oh, so,
yeah.
So you banged one, then got married. Okay.
Not yet.
Oh, you haven't got married yet? Okay. What's your question, dude? Because I'm crying right now.
I don't know. I'm just calling to say hi. You know,
all right, dude. Thanks for calling in, dude. We love you. We'll hit you soon, dude. You know, ask your girl if you guys could swing or some shit. Okay, next caller. Do we have another caller? Where are you going to be, dude? What's your social media and all that?
Jared Quay, J-A-R-E-D-Q-U-A-Y. It's my middle name because I can't use my last name because some singer just got to it first, man. He was smart. He was on the game early.
Really? I was always wondering if you were using your middle name just because you're like, I want to diversify. I want to be away from my brother's kind of thing.
I kind of do eventually. I hate being called Calais' little brother, which has been kind of been following me.
I was going to ask you about that. Is that because it has to you lose your identity a little bit when your brother becomes a superstar like that while you're still doing the grind to get up.
So yeah, it sucks, but it's like in comedy, it kind of helps me right now. So you know, it's one of those things you got to get yourself to a level.
Right.
But then eventually, I want to change his name to being J.O.B. Jared's older brother.
I like that.
Literally people be like, yo, this Claire's little brother, man. You like, nah, man, my name's Jared.
Well, everybody's little to him.
It's everybody.
No kidding.
So no more calls? Wow. That was weird. So it's been a great podcast. So you're on Instagram. Where are you going to be performing-wise?
I'm actually tied up with a little bit of the film stuff right now. But,
oh, it's great.
Yeah. I've been writing and doing a lot of stuff. We're trying to see if we can get this show. It's been, CBS been helping us out with a show.
It's great.
So, yeah. And hopefully everything goes out well with that. But I think my next time on Stand Up, my next date, I will be – Theo's bringing me to Vegas. I can't tell you the exact date, though. So.
All right. Well, dude, I love Theo Von.
Man, we're going to go to the stratosphere, homeboy. Taking you up to the outer space, man. Get up there. They got like zero gravity as far as I can see.
Man, you were great, man. Please come on anytime you got anything to promote or anything like that. You were great. Time just flew, man. It was a lot of fun.
Hashtag Calais to the Raiders.
Okay. Yes! Dude, do that shit!
Oh. What are you doing to me?
Fuck you, bro.
The only reason is Dan Williams and him. Is Dan Williams is Calais' best friend.
Let's do that, dude. Make that shit happen. Final thoughts. Anything? Guys, get those t-shirts done. Picture, we're making t-shirts of the nanny. Get those pictures in. February 21st will be the punchies, and we'll announce who will win. Come on!
Yeah, send us categories, too. If there's any categories you guys think are funny, it would be a fun little thing. Feel free to send us those. Visit all the sponsors, everybody, and go Falcons.
SeatGeek, get at! Bye, guys.